about.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, these people here are communists, lovers, and traitors.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I can tell you what I think it means.
Yeah?
You. Do you speak German?
Well, no. But I have a feeling.
Ah, right. Well, tell me your Flugerschlagen feeling, Mike.
Well, I think it means, hey, man, you're doing great. Flugerschlagen. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, slow down and enjoy the moment, because everything's going to be okay.
Sounds good. And now.
Girls going crazy. Yes, I said it. I'm on fire.
Our feature presentation.
Who's less on fire? Seriously.
Than Rodney?
Yeah.
Rodney's going to outlive us all, dude.
That's possible. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 11th of March.
Rodney's got to be 80, right? Look at him.
Easily.
He's got to be 80.
Yeah. Easily.
Still going strong. Still playing. He's still hacking the hits. Or hocking the hits. What was he doing?
Hocking.
Hocking the hits.
Hocking the hits.
Uh-huh. Or was it honking?
It was honking.
Oh, he was honking the hits. That's yeah. What he was doing. Yeah. So he will outlive us all. Welcome into a Wednesday. As Kevin mentioned, here's a interesting story to get us going before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Allie. How are you, by the way?
Good morning, Bean. I'm doing
Spill
great.
Anything this morning?
No. Thanks for asking, though.
Kept it clean?
Kept it, well, ish.
We had a discussion last year, maybe a couple years ago, and I took a lot of heat for being the guy who said, I don't think the police should be allowed to come up to you on the street and ask for your ID. Remember that case, Kevin, we were talking about?
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, look, you're not doing anything wrong. They're just trying to, you know, keep tabs on who's what, who's where. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable with it. If they don't have any reason to need to know who you are, I don't think you should be required to carry ID, and I don't think they should be allowed to ask for it. And I don't remember what the takeaway was from that particular case, if what the law is on that. I just knew that I didn't like it. Well, this story today reminds me of that. Here's a man who is a Canadian citizen. His name is Alan Philippon. He is 38 years old. He was traveling. He was in the Dominican Republic. And on his way back into Canada, he flew into the Halifax Stanfield International Airport.
Guilty!
How do you know he's guilty? You haven't heard.
Oh, okay.
So the security at the airport, as they're inspecting everybody coming into Canada, and again, remember, he's a Canadian citizen flying home. They say, hey, let me see your cell phone. And we've all encountered this where they ask you to turn on something, you know, some sort of electronics, laptop sometimes, just to make sure that it's not just a bomb in a case. They want to make sure it's actually working, right? So he turns on his cell phone and they say, type in your password so we can look at what's on your phone.
Ah, I can see where this is going.
And he says, what? Where's it going, Kevin?
I'm guessing he doesn't remember the password, and then that causes all kinds of trouble.
No, that's not where it's going.
I thought you were thinking it was going porn.
No.
That's exactly what I thought.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome story.
He's like, I don't want to
either way, though.
Guilty!
Right?
Right.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm with Allie. If the security guy is now forced to inspect his BBW homepage on his phone, then I love this story. No, he didn't forget it, and it wasn't porn. He refused to enter his password. He said, you don't have the authority to look on my phone. I'll show you my phone. Here it is. But I'm not going to show you what's on my phone. That's personal. And he was arrested, and now it's going to go to trial, and this could be precedence in Canada. He could get a $1,000 fine. He could get a $20,000 fine and a year in jail if he is convicted of this. So what do you guys think about whether they have the right to take a look at what's on your phone or, you know, let's extrapolate your laptop or whatever?
My understanding was always that they just wanted to make sure that it worked, that it came on, that it had a use.
That's TSA. That's TSA when you're getting on a plane. This is the security that's looking through your luggage and things like that when you fly back into the country. This is customs, essentially.
I don't know. That sounds like that's overstepping to me.
It does to me, too. They traditionally, border services have a wide berth when it comes to following their instincts or following their hunches or following information that we are not privy to. They said officers are trained in examination, investigative, and questioning techniques. To divulge our approach may render our techniques ineffective. Officers are trained to look for indicators of deception and use a risk management approach in determining which goods may warrant a closer look. So there's no telling whether they knew something about this guy or if they had information in general about somebody coming through on that day from, who knows, from that country or that flight. They won't say what it was because they don't want to tip their hand. But it is going to go to trial, and I don't think this would fly in America because we have the unreasonable search and seizure protection under the Constitution. But I don't know. I don't know that I've heard an American case where they've asked you to, you know, open up a password protected phone.
Yeah, that's weird.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this.
I'd like to see all your email. All right, I want to see your browser history.
Where does it end at that point? It seems a slippery slope. For
exactly.
Sure.
I mean, and this is always the, you know, the complaint, particularly about border crossings in airports, is people think a lot of things are done just for show and they're not really for protection. But again, if they're keeping their methods to themselves, we don't know what it is they're going for, what it is they're trying to do. They may know something. That this could be the only way to find out. I don't know. But I'll keep my eyes peeled and see what ends up happening on this. I think it's just a fascinating case.
Guilty!
That's the point. That's the takeaway
right
there.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You want my advice? Don't be a schmuck.
I think the ship has sailed on that one. Wish I couldn't be, but I am what I am. DNA. There's a great documentary about boxing called Champs. Burt Marcus is going to be on the show today. It's Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield Bernard Hopkins, and they just interview them and talk about what it was like in the day and what boxing is like, and they follow their careers from the beginning to the end, and it's really amazing. It's a great documentary. So we're going to talk to him on the program today. We have from the LA Weekly, Pamela Chellen will be here talking about the Blurred Lines verdict. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Blurred Lines is a little too much like Marvin Gaye, the court has decided.
Where's your guilty drop now?
Don't have time.
$7.4 million to the estate of Marvin Gaye because the song Blurred Lines sounds too much like Got to Give It Up.
Now, I was thinking about that yesterday, and it seems like that song probably made plenty of dough.
It did.
Right? I mean, I know
it came out in the trial. It came out in the trial that Pharrell and Robin Thicke made $5 million each off of it.
Oh, I would have thought more.
So that's three quarters of what they made off of it.
They have to give seven and a half.
I'm stunned by this verdict, by the way. Very rarely do cases like this go for the plaintiff. Very rarely.
Yeah, Pharrell made a great point yesterday. He's like, hey, precedent. What's going to happen now with music? This is not good at all.
How many songs, Kevin, have you sung along to on the radio and you've sung a different song to the song you're listening to? There's only so many notes.
Happens all the time. One song reminds you of another. Maybe they were writing this song, didn't have any knowledge of it, didn't know they had heard it before. But I don't know. This is, A, it's weird that it was guilty, and B, $7.5 million.
Yeah, it's a lot of dough.
That's ridiculous. Taylor Williamson, comedian. In studio today. Very excited about that. Need to get caught up on Empire.
Yeah, you do.
That show seems like it needs my attention.
It does need your
attention. But I think I'm five or six episodes behind, so we're going to ask you.
Worth it, dude.
We're going to ask you for that coming up as well. And we'll continue to give you info and perhaps play you a little bit of audio from our opening act contest. It can be the opening act for April Foolishness. You can come out and do a little set before everybody else comes out in front of 6,000 people. Seems like a pretty cool deal. So go to kevinandbean.com for those details. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
I think a more constructive way to approach it, Ralph, would be to focus on what Kevin can do, not
That's
what he can't
true.
Do.
You're right.
Think about that little encouragement for the boy.
Once again, half glass full.
He's just as God made him. Hey, it's Wednesday morning. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
Well, we're going to have to wait a while to see Bruce Jenner become Belinda. According to TMZ, Bruce has stopped the production of his docuseries chronicling his transformation from man into woman because he feels pressured by producers and he has concerns about his family. He said he wants to make sure that his sons are in a good place to handle this change before he goes any further. And he felt like the producers were rushing him into the production of the series to make sure that there was an air date that was met. So he's gonna pull back. He's gonna ease off the throttle a little bit, and he's going to take his own sweet time putting this together. However, sources say there, no doubt it will air, but it will not debut in May as they originally anticipated. So we may have to wait a little bit to watch Bruce Belinda.
I am surprised by this news. Seems like once you've made that decision, you would be eager to get on with the rest of your life.
Well, I'm not sure if he's changed his mind about the process, just about documenting it.
Mm-hmm.
And about what's going to go into the series and how long it'll take to get produced and when it will air.
Sounds like the first good decision that family's made.
Well, he never really was part of it. I always got the sense that he was a reasonable person struggling to get out of that loony bin when I watched any episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So maybe there's a chance for him yet. I hope he's happy. Whatever happens. You know, familiar with the name Sarah Brightman?
Yes.
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 She was the singer who was...
Bean, we're going to let Kevin. We're going to let Kevin answer this question.
She was a singer who
was married to Andrew Lloyd Webber, right?
What?
Who was married to Andrew Lloyd Webber, right, Ralph?
That's right. She was one of the stars, the original production of Phantom of the Opera. An Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, of course. She is a legendary singer and a Broadway and London stage star.
Had a big pop hit in the late 70s called I Lost My Heart to a Starship Trooper, if you remember that song.
No.
Do not.
No one remembers that.
Nope.
No one. That
Nobody
never
remembers
existed
that.
Because that never existed.
Wasn't a thing.
That's a dumb thing. I lost my heart to a Starship Trooper.
That was her song.
That didn't happen.
I can't help it.
And it's not even a real thing. And stop it. Anyway, she is one of Bean's people, it turns out. She is nuts about space.
Okay.
And she is going to be blasting off into space aboard the Russian Soyuz spacecraft.
Wow.
That takes off on September the 1st for a 10-day trip to the International Space Station.
I'm so jealous.
Wow. She gets to go to the space station.
Do you think she's still pining for that Starship Trooper?
Probably. She's looking for her boyfriend, the Starship Trooper.
That guy go!
She has asked her ex-husband, composer Andrew Lloyd Webber, to write a special piece of music for her to sing while she's in space. She wants to perform live in space.
Okay.
What do you think Sarah Brightman is paying for the privilege to go onto the International Space Station to fly into space and to sing up there? What do you think the tab is? What's the bill? Excuse me, check please. When they bring it to her table, what do you think it says?
Wasn't there a story about celebrities that were going to go up on that? Wasn't it like 20 mil or something?
Well, that was just, I think, in the private plane.
Oh, okay.
The private spacecraft that you sit there and they just do an orbit and you get out there, you get into space.
That was the kid from NSYNC, remember, who wanted to go to astronaut school or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right, Kevin. I think that was $20 million.
Yeah. $51 million.
Whoa.
Oh, what?
God, are you kidding me?
$51 million.
She really wants to sing in space.
She really wants to sing in space.
That's really got to happen for her.
Really,
no pressure on that song.
But in space, no one can hear you sing.
Oh.
She probably didn't think of that.
She didn't think about that. Who's going to hear her? She's going to need a helmet and a suit and stuff. She's going to be singing to herself. I'd be like, sing in the shower!
It's a lot to pay for singing in the shower.
That's my point exactly, Kevin.
I'll tell you that.
That does not seem like a good use of resources.
It does not. $51 million. Well, at least there's no poor people left. And HBO has announced they are making a movie about the legendary Battle of the Sexes tennis match. Kevin, of course, you know the Battle of the Sexes tennis match. Famous... Billie Jean King.
Wow!
That was a pull.
And some dude.
And... the legendary...
Some dude. Hey, I'm perfectly happy with getting 50%.
I'm 50% better than we thought we were going to do.
We're focusing on what he can not what he can't do.
Bobby Riggs was the male tennis player. And this was a big deal in the 70s in the heat of the women's liberation movement, where Billie Jean King at the time was a highly ranked female tennis player. Bobby Riggs was an old dude tennis player who was beyond his prime. But he said no woman could ever beat any man in any tennis match, ever, regardless of age and or quality.
That's stupid.
So it was a big deal. HBO is now making a movie about it. They just announced their cast. Elizabeth Banks will star as Billie Jean King, and Paul Giamatti will star as Bobby Riggs. And already I'm laughing, and I don't know if it's a comedy or not, but I enjoy this film already. So
I feel like we're going to have that Battle of the Sexes in sports again soon if Ronda Rousey can't find anyone to fight. I think eventually they're going to put her up against somebody.
Kevin.
Some dude.
Putting up Kevin.
Please. Take it right down. She already beat Allie.
That's right.
It's true.
Candidly.
So far, she's 1-0 on this show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Heard you guys talking about that Empire television program.
Yes.
Terrence Howard celebrates his 46th birthday today. He built an empire for his sons. Someone must step up, take over the empire.
That's right, man.
Johnny Knoxville is 44 years old today.
He's mean to his kids on that show, by the way.
Is he?
He really is.
Oh,
he's not a
one.
Good father.
Oh, my goodness.
He's nice to Hakeem.
I'm not watching now. Now that I know that, I'm not going to watch. Johnny Knoxville's 44. Joel and Benji Madden. They're responsible for a little band called Good Charlotte, 36 years old today.
They are performing as the Madden Brothers now. That's what they renamed themselves to. No more Good Charlotte.
And you're going to be playing music on stage. Boom!
Pizza first!
That's John. That's the little-known brother. He's on bass.
John was part of it.
David Anders, very talented actor from Alias and iZombie. He's 34 years old today. Thora Birch, the prettiest girl named Thora ever. I'm willing to take a bet and say that's the hottest Thora in history.
It's probably a good guess.
I think you're right.
She's 33 years old today. And Anton Yelchin, very talented actor. You may know him best as Chekhov from the rebooted Star Trek franchise. He is 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Band is called Walk the Moon. They're playing the Palladium tomorrow night, House of Blues in Anaheim on Friday night, and they'll be live on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow, performing live. Walk the Moon. Their return appearance. Let's keep Beer Mug away from them as much as we can.
Yes, let's do.
Thank you.
From everybody, by the way.
I think he almost burned that bridge. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. We take your calls round the clock on the Kevin and Bean voicemail. We call it the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That's our phone number. You call and leave us a message like these.
I'm at the gym wondering where Beer Mug is. He needs to be at the treadmill next to me. Or far away from me, but on a treadmill, not eating a burrito.
What just happened?
I don't know. She just crumbled.
She gets emotional.
She
does,
very
burritos.
Emotional. Yeah, she loves the burrito.
I get it.
Don't we all?
This guy has a complaint with me.
Kevin! Kevin! Hey, Kevin! Hey, you've been really aggressive lately. Maybe you should calm down because you've been such a dude. Stop being such a dick, man.
Again, this is what I love about the Afro calls. No context, no kind of indicator as to what he heard at the time that made him make the call. It's just, he just put it out there.
But I accept it. He's probably right, that guy, whatever he's talking about. We have Petros and Ralph recap the Bachelor Report.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is John. I'm a podcast listener. I was listening to the Bad Joke episode. It was pretty good.
Bad Joke episode would have been April Foolish's tickets, correct?
All right.
Take two.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is John. I'm a podcast listener. I was listening to the Bad Joke episode. It was pretty good. The one I enjoyed the most, though, was the one about wasabi. The one about wasabi.
How does that work? Take away my false start. Does that work?
I guess, technically, I feel
like it needed more syllables.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it was not a perfect rhyme, that's for sure.
It's infiltrating the Afro Line.
I think I'm okay with people who don't want to send it in, who want to try their their luck at their own delivery on the Afro Line. I think that's legit.
Sure.
Absolutely. Damn you, P. I can't stop looking at his tiny little hands. They're freaky.
Petros did call Chris Harrison's hands mosquito hands.
I never noticed that they were tiny, but maybe they are. I
didn't either.
I'm no crazy feminist or nothing, but Lena Dunham is crazy sexy. Shut the hell up, D! Shut up, D!
I didn't say she was crazy sexy,
that was
by the way. I didn't say she was crazy sexy. What I said was her confidence makes her attractive.
I find her pretty. How about you? That's what you said.
And she's pretty. I think she's pretty, too.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Just had to let you know I work at a school and there's some kind of flu going around. So I went to work a little snotty. What?
Nice.
I went to work a little snotty.
Come on.
Well done.
That was pretty strong.
Well
strong.
Done.
And well Absolutely. Delivered.
Yeah, hi. Is President Obama there? I'd like to wish him a happy daylight savings time.
That hurts me on every level, sir.
It's a great callback, because I said, Bean, why do you care so much? And he said, what if people were calling him President Bobama? Wouldn't that drive you crazy?
Well, just as an example of somebody just taking a proper name and just say the wrong thing all the time, it would wear you down. That's all.
No.
Hey, Bean, I just wanted to call and say happy Daylight Savings Time. It's Daylight Savings Time this weekend.
Saving.
You can't let it go, Ken. You can't let one of those go by without the correction.
I cannot.
Yeah, I just want to hear the clip of Kevin Ryder and Gene Baxter lied. Because it was them or Mark and Brian, whoever. They killed that girl, and then they never found the body. Hey, Ralph, right? They never found the body. Come on, Ralph.
Come on. Again, I think maybe another syllable's needed there.
I think so.
People are not as good at this as they'd like to think.
Very. That Snotty was amazing, though.
Snotty
that was good.
Snotty
was great.
Yeah. I appreciate the effort, though, that people are putting into crafting them and getting the setup and the context and the delivery. I think they're. I mean, I think they're on the right track.
Ally McKay, Ally McKay, Ally McKay. Hey, Kevin, let me see your bro.
No,
that took a turn.
Boy,
where did that?
No kidding.
Came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
We were just all having fun, and then he just pooped in the punch bowl.
This is what I thought was going
to
happen.
Hey, Ally McKay, welcome to the show. Show us your boobs.
Wow, you're going to have to squint, sir.
Man, I'm glad Harrison Ford's okay, but, you know, with plane, it's really tough. I guess his landing gear was shoddy.
I guess his landing gear was shoddy.
Come on.
I guess his landing gear was shoddy.
I give that a 9.
That was pretty strong.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Kevin. So I was thinking about getting a new car, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted, you know, BMW, Mercedes, whatever. But I think I was going to get a Jaguar. And so when I start driving down the freeway, it goes,
it's a great, great call.
Hey, did you guys, were talking about Jimmy Fallon. And did you see the Jimmy Fallon where he did the Saved by the Bell reunion? That was okay, but I thought it was kind of weird that he didn't invite Vanilla Ice.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife. Everybody's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed stab people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know.
Vanilla
let's
ice
find out. Let's
on the loose
investigate the knife? More. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were thinking of Screech?
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, great. Thanks for reminding us of that. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Do you have what it takes to be the opening act for the sold-out Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015? If you haven't heard yet, over the past couple of days, we've been asking you to enter online at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Just put together a video of a couple of minutes of your comedy act and upload it to the site, answer a couple of questions, and then we'll get back to you. If you are in the top 10, then we'll put those up and everybody can vote on them, and then somebody gets to open the show at the Shrine on April the 4th. By the way, a lot of interest in this promotion so far.
Well, it's a pretty good gig, I would think.
It is a good gig, yeah. Yeah, you get a chance to perform in front of 6,000 people, put it on your resume that you open for Jay Moore, and you open for Tenacious D and Ralphie May and everybody else on April Foolishness this year. So go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you or someone you know is funny enough to open the show.
Did you see the story about this dude who gets drunk from eating carbohydrates?
I have heard of this before.
You have?
I have, yeah.
He eats bread and gets drunk.
I didn't know the name before. Autobrewery syndrome is what it's called. This is a rare condition that they've only really had on their radar in the medical world for about 10 years or so. But it's people who have a problem. They have some sort of yeast imbalance in their stomach, and it turns carbohydrates into alcohol. So you have a sandwich, and the next thing you know, you're walking around like you've just had 10 beers. I mean, I imagine this would suck.
Yeah, in the story, the guy didn't know that it was happening, so his wife was like looking through the house for his stash of alcohol. Where's your alcohol? Tell me!
Thought he was a closet drinker, right. And then started logging everything he ate, videotaping him, insane.
And then she videotaped him, and he went, wait a minute, I do look completely drunk. What's happening?
Nick Hess is one patient's name in this article. He says, it was weird. I'd eat some carbs, and then all of a sudden, I was goofy. He would get sick with stomach pains, headaches. Every day for a year, I would wake up and vomit. Sometimes it would come on over the course of a few days. Sometimes it was just like, bam, I'm drunk. He didn't drink a drop, but no one believed him because he seemed drunk all the time. I don't know if
they're... I don't drink either, dude.
So, just eat a lot of chips.
Whatever.
I don't know where they are on finding a cure for this, but I know it sounds like fun because it's, you know, a cheap way to get drunk, but I think it would be miserable to not be able to eat any carbs without ending up like this. So, we thought we'd find out what the life is like for Mr. Nick Hess, who joins us on the phone right now. He is a patient who has this auto brewery syndrome. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I mean, you must have been so disturbed by discovering your condition, but also relieved when it was finally figured out what was going on in your stomach, right?
Of course, it's much better to know that what's happening than just to wonder, because as you mentioned, it was just highly confusing to go about the day, suddenly feeling disoriented, acting out, being inappropriate in social situations.
Sure.
And then... completely for no reason at all. It was quite confusing, frankly, for myself and my family.
And people just wouldn't believe you when they would accuse you of being drunk. You would say, no, I haven't had anything, and there was no other explanation in their minds, right?
No, they thought perhaps it was a mental illness. We couldn't comprehend really why my behavior would alter so, and then why physically I would have the horrible physical side effects of nausea and vomiting. And so, luckily, they discovered, as you mentioned, it was simply an overabundance of yeast in my stomach that apparently would take the carbohydrates, much as when you brew beer, and that was the result, was the alcohol.
So what do you do now? Do you just have to stay away from all carbs?
No, well, it's hard, because right now, like, for example, I'm having breakfast, and just there's some toast on the table. It just looks so good. It's so hard to resist, you know? So I'm just going to have a little bit of toast.
Oh, man.
Well, that doesn't... Don't... You got to be careful with that, Nick, with your condition.
Wow,
that's so funny, isn't it? Oh, they call it toast. It's not like he's raising a glass and saying, oh, here's the bride and groom. It's just burnt bread.
That works so quick.
What a day is cooler than what it is. Stupid horse.
What? What's happening?
Horse, I don't know what this is called.
Nick, we were having a very reasonable conversation 1 minute ago. This is terrible.
Sorry about that. Out of his system
now. So much better now. Sorry if I said anything inappropriate.
Nick, you wanted toast changed to horse.
We think.
Oh, that's tragic. I'm terribly sorry if I offended anyone with that.
Okay.
Well, I feel like you just got to learn that you just can't have toast. I mean, you just have to take that off the list.
No, not at all. I'm starving. I'm going to have this English muffin instead because
I'll be... No, Nick, don't seriously. There's bread in that, too.
English muffin is what I used to call my wife's vajayjay.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes it'd have jam on it.
Oh,
butter.
Oh, Nick.
There's a lot of nooks and crannies.
Very
and then I found out my neighbor Thomas was having sex with her. So I guess it was Thomas's English muffin.
Okay.
Oh, right. Tell me about her vagina.
Oh, poor guy. This is horrible.
Oh, terribly sorry.
Wow.
I didn't say anything inappropriate.
You don't want to know what you were telling us about your wife's vagina, Nick.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about an English muffin, was I?
Oh, you were.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Our friend, the hilarious Taylor Williamson, is in town. Got some shows at the Ice House. He joins us in studio in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Allie, have you met Taylor Williamson before?
I have. He is a delightful young man.
He is dead sexy, isn't he?
Amen.
Can't wait. Plus, we've got LA Weekly's Pamela Shalin. She's going to be joining us next hour as well. She has been following in the courtroom the trial of Robin Thicke, and she was there when the verdict was read yesterday, so we'll get her takedown on that as well. First, though, Kevin, I got to give you a lot of credit, man.
For?
getting ready to jump on board the Empire bandwagon.
That's
one
right.
week before the season finale.
That's how I roll. Yep. I heard a lot of people talking about it. They were like, this is awesome. So I thought, hey, maybe I should check it out. So I watched the pilot episode like 2 days ago. And I don't know how many there have been, six or seven.
Yeah.
But who's got that kind of time? I need people to catch me up so I can be ready for the finale. What is it, a week from now?
Yeah.
I think it's next week. It is. Look, it is tough. Here's the thing. We do live, I know it sounds like a cliche, we really do live in the golden age of television. You can't even keep up with the great shows on television anymore. Who has that kind of time? Much less the mediocre shows. But something comes along like Empire, and I bet this is what happened, Kevin. You saw the promos for it, and you said, yeah, it looks pretty good. I might check that out. And then for whatever reason, it just never got on your radar, never got on your DVR, so you missed it. And then all of a sudden, it became this snowball, and now it's on the cover of every magazine, and it's one of the highest-rated shows, and everybody is talking about it the next day. And now you feel like, oh, man, I really missed out on that
one. And for good reason, it's a great show.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, it is a soap opera, but a lot happens in every episode. I mean, it's kind of insane how many plot twists there have already been in this since this season began. So what is it you want? You want listeners to call in what? Give you character updates, plot points?
Just,
what are you looking for?
Just catch me up on what's going on so that I'm ready for the finale.
So you want to be able to tune in tonight and kind of know what's happening?
Yes.
All right.
And I don't have time to watch the other six episodes or however many today.
Okay.
So this is my shortcut.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. Tell Kevin what he needs to know before he looks into Empire tonight. Now, Allie, I know you've been on board with this show since minute one.
Absolutely.
What do you love about it?
I love that it tackles huge issues in a way that's completely relatable to everyone. I'm not giving anything away, but homophobia, you've got mental illness, an Oedipal complex, race issues, deceit.
Domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse. It's got everything.
It does have everything.
Yes. So good.
Are you
going
to sing? Are you going to sing some Conqueror for us?
Trust me. Honestly, I've never been watching a show and thought, that's a great song. I should download it. I not only downloaded it immediately,
mm-hmm.
I paused the show to listen to it again. Conqueror by Estelle, as well
wow.
as
You paused the show to listen to the song again?
Yeah.
You couldn't rewind the show?
I could, but why would I do that?
Because you wanted to hear the song again?
But I wanted to hear it on my my computer.
Okay. All right.
So 1-800-520-1067. What does Kevin need to know before he gets on board with Empire?
I know Cookie's his wife. She just got out of jail. She wants what's hers.
Ex-wife.
Yeah.
Ex-wife, right.
Right. She was in jail for 17 years.
Right.
And he's running a record company, and he is a major star from back in the day. He's a recording artist who became, you know, basically the head of the company and now nurtures other artists.
I know he has three sons, and one of them is gay, and he hates that kid. Right?
Right. That's right.
Yes.
That's all I know about that relationship.
That's Jamal.
Okay.
Yes.
That's Jamal. He's the most talented of all the kids, by the way. Then you've got Hakeem, who is just the dick. He's just like the super young.
Is he the suit?
No, that's Andre.
Andre. Andre's the smart one. He went to college, and he wants to run the company because he's the only one who has any kind of financial or business sense. But he also is bipolar.
Okay.
And he struggles with issues with that. His father hates his white wife, so he struggles with that.
Okay.
He also is kind of on the outside of the family because he's the only one who's not an entertainer. You know, because he's a businessman.
All right.
So he's definitely got some issues to deal with.
Here's what I like about the show is they do not skimp on issues.
No.
They just go, everybody's got a terrible problem. Let's throw them together and make it happen.
And Lucius, the head of Empire, has ALS. He's dying, Kevin.
So he has to find somebody to succeed him. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Succeed.
Okay. No, it's not succeed, is it?
It's succeed.
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
Yeah, succeed. Right. He's not leaving the union, Allie. He's looking for somebody who's going to run the company.
Do we know that?
We're not positive
yet. Do we know that?
I don't know.
So he's also trying to take the company public. He's
right.
got an IPO coming up, so he has to hide his illness. So now he basically is, you know, getting everyone around him to commit fraud to cover up the fact that he's sick, including the doctor that certified him, who is his...
fiance's dad.
Yes, fiance's father. Yes, I'm telling you, I watched the show. And there's a lot to keep track of.
I know almost all of that from the first episode.
Plus Judd Nelson.
What's happened?
Judd Nelson and his nostrils. Yes.
Oh, they're magical. He's the head of Creedmoor, which is another label that's now trying to poach artists from Empire.
Okay, so Creedmoor is the enemy.
Yeah.
And Cookie wants what's hers.
Cookie
That's right.
has not given up Nookie until she gets what's hers. That
That's
was a
right.
quote.
Yeah.
No Nookie from Cookie.
Yeah, business is closed until you bump that fake-ass Lena Horne.
Exactly, yeah.
Cookie is the best. She's one of the greatest characters on television. And it's so amazing, Kevin, because I know you love Taraji B. Henson on Person of Interest.
Person of Interest. She was great.
Couldn't be a more different character.
Yep. Very different.
She's incredible. All right, let's take a couple of calls. We're looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about Empire, trying to get Kevin caught up. Do you watch it? Do you love it? What does Kevin need to know before he tunes in tonight and then for the finale next week? John is on the phone. He's in L.A. He's on line two to get us going. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. Kevin, you are going to get sucked in.
Yeah.
I missed Super Bowl Sunday catching up on all the Empires.
What?
Wait.
That is unacceptable.
Wait, hold on.
Super Bowl to watch it.
You didn't.
Bored,
you didn't watch the
episode.
Super Bowl.
Yes.
So you could binge watch the show.
I did, and I DVR it every week. My Wednesdays are blocked off. I do not talk to anybody between that hour. As soon as it goes off, I download the soundtrack.
How about Conqueror, right, with Estelle and Jamal?
Conqueror was great. I have to use it for work. I downloaded it. I listened to it probably right after it went off. I watched the video with Estelle and Jamal on YouTube several times a day.
See?
It's a great song. It gets me through the day.
I love Jamal's song about I Don't Need Your Money. That's my song. I think that's an awesome song.
What
I
like is No Apologies. I love that.
That's the thing. Timbaland is the musical director of this show, and they do phenomenal stuff. And they've got some guest stars coming up from, real life hip hop. They have people like Mary J. Blige are going to be on the show and whatnot.
And Jennifer Hudson is going to be on there tonight.
Jennifer Hudson, that's right. Who's your favorite character and why, John?
I think my favorite one so far is Jamal. I'm waiting to see what happens with him. I think he is going to take the Empire at the end.
All right, let me ask you guys a question since you're all caught up on this. Mm-hmm. There's only one episode tonight and then the finale.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to wrap up who gets the Empire or whatever?
No, they're not going to.
So we won't even find that out.
By the way, Kevin, I forgot to tell you that we talked about how Lucius has the ALS. So there's no cure for that, as you know. Unless you're Stephen Hawking, you die within 2 years.
Right.
So he found out that there's a doctor who said that there's a controversial procedure that's being done in Russia. So he got that done to him. He paid tons of money to try this not FDA-approved approach toward ALS. Got him super, super sick. He ended up in the hospital, almost died.
Wow.
Yeah,
that seems like a bad idea on all levels.
Yeah, bad times. There are a lot of bad decisions being made on this show every week.
Speaking of bad decisions, John watched this show instead of the Super Bowl.
Well, I bet Bean wishes he did.
I wish I had not watched the Super Bowl as well.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Ralph Garman steps in with another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's the latest?
Not only do I give you the beat, I give you tickets.
Yeah!
Tickets to the K-Rock screening of Insurgent.
Looks awesome.
From the Divergent series. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. However, you, my friends, will get to see it on March the 16th at the Pacific Theater at the Grove. Come on out and find Shailene Woodley. Once again, taking on the society that's trying to tear her down. Because she's different, man. Don't I know how that feels? If you'd like to see Insurgent, give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. Give me a call right now. First five callers to get through at that number will get a pair of passes to see the Divergent series, Insurgent. They got to simplify this title for me. It's going to be a long week.
Are these, this may be a dumb question, but are these movies set on Earth?
You know what, brother? You got me. Got me there. I know very little about the Insurgent, the Divergent series.
Gotcha.
I believe it takes place in an alternate society. Here.
Not on Earth in the future or anything like that. Just someplace else where all the people look and talk like
that. Here's what I know.
Boy, I wish I could give you some more
I watched
details
it,
on this.
Loved it. I don't know either.
Okay. You saw the first film?
I did, yes.
Well, and why can't you help us?
Because I'm me, but I'm just saying, I watched it and it was great.
I didn't see the movie.
No, I know.
I don't know. You saw it?
I did see it.
And you can't answer Bean's question.
Nope. I cannot. I can give him as much information as you can, having not seen it. That's it.
That's true of so many things, though.
That is true.
All right, Dave says...
I would feel horrible about myself if that was the case.
Oh, Ralph, there's so much more to feel horrible about for me.
Dave says that they are set on Earth. They are set in the future in Chicago.
In Chicago. There you go. All right.
So that's according to the king.
There's your answer.
You could look it up on the internet. It's up there somewhere.
All right. Enough with you, Ralph.
Do they all talk like this? Hey, you're an insurgent. Why are you over there being all different? You should be like the rest of us, and that'd be, you know, be better if you were more like us.
They don't talk like that at all.
They should.
But it's Chicago.
Chicago. Hey, you, Shailene Woodley. Why don't you get a little less sunshine in your vagina, a little bit more getting in line with the rest of society, okay?
Now that's a movie I'd like to see. Speaking of movies, serious injury to Johnny Depp while on location in Australia for his latest film, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Now, this is the weird part. Johnny was not working at the time of his injury.
Okay.
But he was on location there in Australia. He's going to have to be flown back to the U.S. to have surgery on his hand.
Dude, what did he do?
There's no word on exactly what the injury was.
Huh.
But I hope he got it making too much love to Amber Heard. The only thing I can hope is he actually broke something off while breaking a little something off.
Because that'd be worth it.
It would be so worth it.
Yep.
I had sex with her so hard, I injured myself. I snapped a tendon in my hand while I was moving this finger. I want to go under the knife.
Okay.
See this finger?
Yep.
It's too much.
Not looking.
Popped a tendon.
Not looking.
Snapped it right in half.
Yep.
Just waving that finger.
Yep. Won't stop.
You see this finger? Yep. This is what I'm talking about.
Got it, Feshy.
Everything sounds worse with a Chicago accent,
it does.
I think.
Chicago and Cat's mom.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's a guy on radio. I'm going to screw this up. It's a sports talk show. His name's North. Something North. Not Peter North, but something North. Mm-hmm. And he's a Chicago sports broadcaster. And I listened on the morning on the way in.
And he sounds like that?
And that's how he sounds.
What?
He and his partner do a morning radio show.
I don't understand what they're doing over there with those trades. What are they thinking? That guy's not good 2 or 3 years, he's going to be out of the league.
Wow, this is the greatest sports talk show ever.
2 or 3 years, he's going to be out of the league. Why'd they even bother trading for that guy?
But look, if you tuned in to Petros' show for the first time ever, you might have a similar reaction. How is this guy with this voice on the radio?
I think you just get used to it. I'll take pee all day long.
Same.
Over that accent. While we're talking movies... Congratulations. We have our very first Mexican Bond girl.
All right.
Stephanie Sigmund is her name. Boy, she's a beauty. She will be one of the Bond girls in the upcoming Daniel Craig film, Spectre. She's playing a character named Estrella. Oh, Estrella. That's right. That's what Bond said. Daniel Craig, right there.
That's what he said?
You may have seen her on the TV series The Bridge.
Oh, who is she on the bridge?
Who is she on the bridge?
She was the really hot Mexican girl.
Was she the reporter who worked with What's-His-Face from Scooby-Doo? You didn't see this either, did you?
Wow. Why don't you ask me where the bridge takes place? Is it on this planet or in the future?
It's El Paso and Juarez.
I don't know.
Right. The bridge was a great show. I wonder if that's who it is.
It was great.
I wonder if that's the Mexican girl.
Stephanie Sigmund. If there only was some way you could type the name Stephanie Sigmund into some machine and press a button and have photos of her pop up.
That's another way.
You could
way.
Know exactly who she was.
That's another way to go about it.
Instead of asking me about questions about shows I didn't see.
Here's what I think you should do. Take Stephanie Sigmund, write that name down, put it in a Google search or something like that, and then you'll find out exactly what she looks like. Just hit on images.
I'm looking at her photo right now. I do not recognize her. Not recognize her from the bridge.
Yeah, that's not important, though. She's hot, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's hot. She's
because
fine.
They don't miss
her. Oh, here she is.
That.
Here she is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't recognize her.
All right,
sorry.
Good work. Thanks
so
for
the internet didn't help me
recognize her update.
It's a fun journey we took with him right there.
Wasn't it?
That was awesome.
And you guys remember last hour I was talking about the new HBO show, Battle of the Sexes, about the legendary tennis match in the 70s between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
Yes.
I mentioned Elizabeth Banks has been cast as Billie Jean King, and Paul Giamatti will be Bobby Riggs. I cannot wait for this. This prompted listener Scott Salomon to send in this email. I heard you mention Paul Giamatti and his casting for the new HBO film. Actually, I'm childhood friends with Frankie Muniz. So I once visited Frankie on the set of Big Fat Liar. And I spoke with Blue Paul Giamatti.
You want to try it again? Because
what?
I don't feel like you delivered that line.
I missed it too.
Enough to hit the song.
Do you remember Big Fat Liar?
No.
You never saw that film with Frankie Muniz and Paul Giamatti?
No, but we're willing to move on.
And he dyes his pool, his swimming pool. And when he comes out, he's all blue.
Okay. And what was the line again?
With blue Paul Giamatti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up blue Paul Giamatti. Here. I woke up blue Paul Giamatti. Here. I woke up blue Paul Giamatti.
Sorry, kids.
Sorry, kids.
If you know Big Flat Liar, you're laughing your ass off right now.
I hope that person enjoyed it.
A lot of people watch Big Fat. Chip, you ever see Big Fat Liar?
Yep.
Thank you. Hey, Dave, and the other one, Dave, kick him back. You ever see Big Fat Liar?
Nope.
Never mind. Don't go to him for any backup.
He's never saw a James Bond movie. What's he know? All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Terrence Howard from Empire.
Empire. I built an empire for my boys. Someone needs to step up.
He's 46 years old today. Johnny Knoxville's 44. The Madden brothers, Joel and Benji, are 36. David Anders from Alias played Sark on that program now in the new show iZombie. He's 34. Thora Birch is 33. And Anton Yelchin celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Blue Paul Giamatti.
5 o'clock this afternoon. Coachella tickets, sold out passes, access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Kevin, you've been to that Coachella house. What's that deal?
The Coachella house is usually a giant ranch house, and they have seats and a swimming pool and a stage, and they bring the bands over from Coachella, and they do interviews, a lot of live performances. It's really a good time. I love it.
And it's always a house that is way too fancy for K-Rock to be at.
Yes.
And I can't imagine how much they have to pay to have access to it to broadcast live over the weekend.
I'm guessing we don't get any security deposits back.
I'm guessing that's true, too. So you get Coachella passes. You also get to go to the K-Rock Coachella house. And you were qualified to win a new car. It's a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. The grand prize winner is going to be drawn at the K-Rock Coachella house on Friday, April the 10th. That's at 5 o'clock today to qualify for all that. Get the details at krock.com.
Bean is a robot and just told us off the air that he almost cried yesterday, and that shocked us all.
I'm not a robot.
Hey, you're
a robot. I'm a unicorn, first of all.
Okay.
Second of all,
Bean doesn't cry.
What is it that you have known in the past has made me tear up in the past? What have we talked about on this show before that is my soft spot? You know how some people it's, you know, babies, some people it's puppies, some people it's, you know, sports movies. Everybody has that weak spot, the thing that brings on the tears.
Yeah, and yours is stranger than anyone else because we've seen you in super emotional, like, family situations. Like, you know, your mom passed away a time back. You were good, right? So then you go, I don't know. What gets to this guy?
Allie, what's your weak spot? What makes you cry?
Commercials with babies. Commercials with puppies. Mm-hmm. Puppies and babies.
For me, it's being on the phone with customer service. That's...
Oh, it's frustration. Yes, because you told us one time before you cried on with customer service.
I did.
Real tears?
Real tears. I mean, head in the hands, shaking... Crying, just falling apart.
Is it like
I can't go on?
Are you just broken?
Yes. Like, Bean's no, like that, a, Bean's that's like, exactly what it is. I'm broken.
Bean's like a computer. He's literal. He takes everything literally.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't follow according to logic, he loses. Like, I can't deal with this.
Look, I know I'm not going to be the first or the thousandth or the millionth person to say that customer service doesn't seem to have anything to do with customer service. But when you have to call one of those 800 numbers to get a problem fixed, my sense is sometimes with some companies in some situations, they're not trying to solve your problem. They're trying to break you. I really do think they're trying to break you.
You think they just want you to go, I don't have the energy for this. I'm not going to pursue it.
I'm going to give up. Exactly. Hey, Chip, is there a large cable company that starts with C that's a client on K-Rock, or should I not say who the company was that we were talking about?
Yeah, just be safe. I would not mention.
I would say let's not.
But all right. So yesterday I had no internet.
Right.
And by the way, who does that hurt more than me? No one.
That's the other thing is Bean's connected to the internet 24/7.
I like to stay current.
Yeah.
So I have no internet, and I do a pretty good job of troubleshooting problems like that on my own. I'm not a guy that you need to walk through the diagnostics. I know how to restart and reset and do all the stuff that I can do on my end. And it became clear to me after some time that I was going to have to make this phone call. So I make the phone call. And I give them all the information. And, of course, they can never find your account. But I'm used to that. I'm steeled for that. That even though I've been a customer for decades, I know that they're not going to be able to. They don't know my name. They can't find my address. Oh, wait. So eventually we get all of that. And they tell me all the things to try that I've already tried. And I humor them for that because that makes sense that they would go in that direction. So I'm on the phone with them for, at this point, 25 minutes or so. And they say, hey, we're going to, you know, you've already done all the stuff you can do on your end. We're going to send a signal to kind of restart your modem so that we're connected back. And you'll be up and running.
Right.
So they try that, doesn't work. So they say, all right, I've got the lady's being very nice. And of course, she's in India, but she's being very nice. And she, you know, she's got pretty good English comprehension, which I appreciate. And she seems to understand my problem. And so
she
far,
say daylight savings or daylight saving?
Didn't come up.
Okay.
So she says, I'm going to transfer you to the technical department, and they have an override, a manual override. What I'm doing isn't working, but what they're going to do is going to get you back up and running.
So
and
now you're excited.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
So they transfer me to a new person. I'm on hold for 3 or 4 minutes. Not great, but about what you expect when you're calling a large company like this. The guy picks up the phone, and I think you can guess what happened next, Kevin. He has no idea who I am or why I'm calling.
Start from scratch.
You have to 100% start from scratch. They have to know everything about you in order to find the problem.
Did you power it down, power it up?
Asked all of those questions.
Just like I told the last person.
So I'm on the phone with that person for about 15 minutes or so, and they say, hold on 1 second, I'm going to transfer you to somebody else.
Now, at that point, did you think, F it, I'm just going to hang up?
Because you
have to have your internet.
You have to have internet. I mean, you can give up, but you're still going to have the same problem when you come back later or the next day. You've got to fix it, right? They transfer me, and I'm weary. They transfer me to the third person who has never heard of me, who doesn't know why I'm calling.
Oh, my God.
You're not crying now, are you?
I'm not crying now, but I'm just – it's a painful memory to go back to yesterday to think about this because at this point I'm just – and I'm trying – you know, there's no reason for me to be a dick to this guy who is new to the situation. All he did was pick up the phone and he's trying to help me as a customer.
Yeah, but it's their whole system that should be able to continue the information with you. You shouldn't have to read – to give them every piece of information again every time you're transferred.
Thank you.
That's frustrating.
And please explain that to me, how people who are working in the same company don't have access to the same computer information. If they've got me up on a screen with my name, address, and modem number and account number and all this stuff, why can't they get that to the next person that's taking my case?
I'm guessing this between the second and third person, they said, watch this. We're going to F with this guy. He's so called before
almost
and cried.
Broken. Almost broken.
I'm not yelling. Yeah, one more guy. I think we can put this dude over the edge. So I'm not yelling at this guy or anything, but I am seriously, and I wish I had a recording of this because I'd love to play it for it. I am asking him questions like, are you guys really trying to help me or are you trying to break me? I'm actually asking him that question because I'm close. And he goes through all the information, and basically the conclusion that he comes to is that he can't help me either.
Oh, did he transfer you a fourth time?
He did not transfer me a fourth time. He said, you're going to have a technician come out. And I said, you guys turn – my internet was fine here yesterday. It's not fine now. Nothing's changed on this end. So you turned it off. Turn it back on. I'm at this point now.
Now you're
yelling
at
the guy. Back on.
Turn the guy's like, I don't have a magic button that I can just turn this guy's computer back on.
But they did turn it off.
Well, there could be an issue, but I don't know that they turned it off on purpose. Like, they don't know that they turned it off.
But they did turn it off,
no.
And they should be able to turn it on.
No, that doesn't make sense.
It does make
it's
sense.
It's possible something changed on your end as well. Maybe
but
something
how?
Happened. It just happens.
Get to the crying.
It happens
Look
all the
at
time.
That happen.
Oh, I'm bawling at this point. My head is in my hands, and I'm like, no. And I just know that they're recording it and laughing, and they're playing at their Christmas party this year.
I just know
they're doing that. If they celebrate Christmas in India. I'm not sure.
Wow, that went south quick.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look.
So, do you have internet? Do you not have internet?
I do not have internet.
Wow.
And I have an appointment with a multinational corporation representative this afternoon at noon, or 1 o'clock. So I don't know what it is about that process, but they do break me, and I steel myself before I call, and I know that it's going to be a tough slog, but I think this time's going to be different, and I'm either going to get some great results, or I'm going to be man enough to be able to accept that it's out of my hands and just roll with it. I don't know what I need to say to myself to make it work. I don't know how to make that process less painful for myself. How do you guys do it?
That's life.
How do you not break down and cry when you're in that same situation at the 1 hour mark?
Well, I get frustrated, but I don't cry about things like that. I get mad, but I don't cry about it. But that's weird to me.
But you're powerless too.
Yes.
You can't threaten.
That's the basis of it. You have no power in the situation. You are so frustrated, and there's nowhere to go but to let that out through unicorn tears. Bean, I get it. I am with you on this.
Is he healing?
He's healing himself by letting it out.
That's so sweet.
I'm doing what I got to do, you guys.
I hope the guy doesn't show up today. And I hope you record it.
He is the third best person named Taylor in the whole wide world, ladies and gentlemen. Taylor Williamson joins us back in studio on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. I'm the only one applauding, but we all love you, Taylor.
Yay. I think I'm bristling at third best.
Yeah, he is at the Ice House at Comedy Club.
Because I know he's behind Tadoff Switler for being
in Pasadena. Two big shows on Saturday. See Taylor at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. How you been, man?
Hey, I'm good. You know, just I'm a very punctual person, and I just wanted to brag about that.
Because you were late?
Because you're 20 minutes late?
We had you scheduled at 7 o'clock.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Okay, so
what is going on out there since Allie fired our traffic person? What's happening, Gary?
Wow,
that's how it's going to be.
I
were you just stuck in traffic? Is that the deal?
You know, honestly,
you left late?
Here's my excuse. I checked my GPS at 4 in the morning, and it said 22 minutes. I'm like, great. It's going to take me 22 minutes.
Then how long was it between then and when you left the house?
So I left at like 6:15.
Yeah, it changes in between then.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
There's more cars moving.
Right.
When people are awake than when people are sleepy.
That's pretty strange.
Who would have thought there'd be traffic in Los Angeles?
It is crazy.
Why did you bring a balloon that says Kiss Me?
Well, you know what's funny is I brought a Kiss Me and Be My Valentine balloons that are deflated because I thought it would be like ironic and silly.
Okay.
You know, because like, ha, 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 it's like an old Valentine's Day balloon. That's funny. And then, but since I'm like a jerk because I'm late, I just looks like I'm a double jerk.
So you want to do over on today, Taylor. You want to go back to bed, just start over, get up, and have a new day, right?
Do you mind if I take a nap right now?
Well, I mean, a little.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
You brought some candy. Have some of that.
I brought peanut brittle.
Yeah.
For being?
I don't know who.
Thank you. I love peanut brittle. That's great.
Who gets peanut brittle anymore? That's a strange thing to me.
Bean and I are on the same page.
Okay. Absolutely.
I'll give you a peanut brittle.
I am not a fan of peanut brittle, but my grandpa was.
Those are our people, aren't they, Taylor?
Yeah.
Me and Bean and your grandpa are grandpas.
We're always.
I don't know what
Taylor
that means.
And I are always about the World War II generation. So listen, no. Taylor.
Ask about the Holocaust. Anything you need to know.
You're at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena with two big shows on Saturday. Tickets 18 and up, available now, just $20. Go to icehousecomedy.com. Okay. What have you been up to since the last time we saw you? Where you been?
I haven't been on your show in like a year.
It has been a long time.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Last time we had you on was last year, probably just ahead of April Foolishness, where you were kind enough to donate your time. And thank you again for helping us out with that last year.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me. It was so special.
You killed.
Oh, thank you.
That was fun.
It was so cool. Adam Carolla said a nice thing to me. I never heard him say anything nice about anybody.
Wait, Adam said something nice to you?
Take us through it.
It was so cool. He's like, you're funny. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is great.
But then did he follow that up with, but?
Then he walked away and didn't talk to me.
So let me ask you this, Taylor. I want some serious advice here because we are doing something new this year. This is the seventh year that we've done Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. And by the way, I hope we'll have you back in some future year if you'd be willing to do it again.
Oh, please. Thank you.
But we got a great lineup again this year. Our friend Jay Moore is on the bill. We've got Tenacious D. We've got Ralphie May, Eliza Schlesinger, bunch of great acts on the bill like we do. Gabriel Iglesias is with us this year. Brad Williams is back. But we're doing an opening act contest where we're inviting potentially amateurs, people who have never done comedy before, if they want to go to kevinandbean.com and upload a video to
enter to be the opening act. What advice would you give people who are starting out in comedy that want to put an act together to apply for, say, a contest like this or get going in the world of comedy?
Well, I think that's the coolest thing ever that you're doing this, giving the people this opportunity. Like, that's such a dream gig. Like,
it is going to take some balls, though, for somebody to get up there on that stage before those comedians.
In front of 6,000 people and do comedy, right?
Yeah, I mean, but
could go south. I mean, that's always an option.
But, I mean, Patton Oswalt went first last year when I was on it.
Yeah, but it's not first. It's opening. This is an opening act that probably no one knows.
Yeah, you're unknown. So. You're walking out there. I mean, so like Kevin said, you need balls. But how do you put a two-minute tape together that's going to get people's attention? I'm asking you to give advice because you've been that. You've been that guy on America's Got Talent. You've been the guy who had to figure out a way to sell yourself in a short period of time in front of an unfamiliar crowd.
Yeah, we had 90 seconds on America's Got Talent. And, I mean, just be funny. I mean, just,
okay, good tip. Just be funny.
Hot take.
Make people laugh.
Make people laugh. Okay, good. That's two great tips.
What would you lead with? Would you lead with a quick joke? You don't want something with a long setup because people might just tune out, take that tape out.
Well, my strategy for things like America's Got Talent are cute joke, extremely racist joke, then cute joke at the end. And yeah. They get confused. And then they're like,
oh, that was a little racist, but I like that guy.
Right, exactly.
Buffered with cute.
So likability mixed with oppression of minorities and handicapped people.
Okay. All right. That's a good tip.
People rooted for you, though, because they were worried that you were going to fail and cry, right? I mean, wasn't that part of it? This guy looks too delicate to make it in show business, so please be good. I feel like people were really rooting for you on the TV.
That's amazing. I never thought of it that way, where people were like, we hate this guy so much. He's such a loser. We want to make him be in the most horrible scenario of his life over again. Just be nervous and weird and awkward on TV again.
You make nervous and weird and awkward work brilliantly, though, I think.
Oh, you're very kind.
Because you do get the idea.
Why are you laughing?
You do get the idea that...
Because it was so horrible, and you're like, you are so kind.
No,
I genuinely took that as a compliment.
No, because you get the idea that you're watching somebody who might crumble, and then you turn the corner and nail them with comedy, and it works beautifully.
Thank you. This is just a character. I have sex all the time.
Do you?
That's why you were late.
Yeah.
That's why you were late. You should have said that.
Oh, listen, I was having sex on the 405. I'm so sorry.
Taylor, has being a professional comedian, a professional entertainer that gets to travel and do comedy, has it been what you thought it would be when you were, you know, trying to get that as a job?
You know, it's funny. Like, my life changed like crazy. A year and a half ago, I was on America's Got Talent. That's when I first was on your show. And then all of last year where I was gone. I was on the road 40-something weeks, pretty nonstop. Wow. And so I went from I couldn't get bookings anywhere. Like, I was the guy who would have killed. I mean, now I'm like, I want to be on. I want to be on April Fool's.
You can submit a tape.
Okay, I will. But I went from that to too much traveling and booking. So it was like first world comedian problems where.
Yeah, but it could be tiring, I imagine, being in a different city every couple of days.
But then it sucks that, like, I want to complain, and then people are like, oh, yeah, it was Fort Taylor. Oh, you're headlining comedy club.
No, I mean, and sometimes, like that, do they? And sometimes you and your girlfriend Heidi Klum end up in different cities, too, and that has to be awkward for you.
It is hard on our relationship, and I miss her children.
Uh-huh. Her boyfriend, you miss him?
How would I miss myself? I don't understand.
Taylor Williamson is here. He'll be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena doing two shows at 8 and at 10 o'clock this Saturday night. Go to icehousecomedy.com. Tickets are just $20. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
So while you were listening to Group Love on the world famous K-Rock, Taylor Williamson says, should we talk about hiking with Dave, the King of Mexico?
To which
Taylor,
that's answer, no way to live a life.
Our answer is absolutely.
I love it because when we go together...
How often have you gone together?
You seem athletic.
Well, I look like people think I'm his personal trainer, I think.
Oh, wow.
I look like, right at me by myself, I look skinny fat. People are like, look, who's this guy trying to get in shape, you know? But then when I'm with Dave, people are like, wow, that's really, really nice of this guy to help out.
Oh my gosh.
I want to find like another like a skinny Mexican friend to become friends with. So then, like the next day, I'll go back to Runyon Canyon, and people like be like, "Oh my god, this guy's really incredible."
After, yeah,
that's so you're so Hollywood now, Taylor, that you're hiking at Runyon Canyon. That's something. That's something you never would have done before you were a celebrity.
I would never have exercised at all before, but now I have a reason not to die.
Because you have a career?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have fans now?
Yeah. At least,
but didn't you have a reason sort of not to die before? I mean...
Because the world is a beautiful place.
Well, I mean...
Yes, because, you know, life.
I was just...
Because of life.
I thought so, but then I watched this documentary yesterday about how Antarctica is, like, melting.
Right.
And we're all going to be underwater in, like, 100,000 years.
Okay.
Well, that's not much of a concern for you, though, Taylor, is it?
I want to live now. I hope to live a long time, and I want to...
You want to live 100,000 years?
I mean, God willing. Do you not want me to? Do you wish death upon me?
I don't, but I'm guessing you're not going to make it, you know, longer than any of the rest of us.
I'd like to give you 100 years or so.
I hike now.
Well,
that's right.
We have heard that.
Taylor, tell me about what are your fans called? Everybody's got a name. Are they Taylorids? Is that what they are?
Yeah.
They're Taylorids. Tell me about the Taylorids. Tell me about the people who love you and how uncomfortable that makes you.
Originally I wanted them to be called William Sons of Bitches.
I like it. I like that better.
They wouldn't let me say that on TV, so I went with Taylorids. Huh. Which is even better because it sounds like Gaylord. No, it's really special. I have fans now. That
how many? Do they send you things?
How many?
They send me things. I had a girl make a doll of me. I've won, by the way. But one fan. And
one fan, okay.
And she made me a doll.
She made
of
you
my,
a doll?
My body.
Okay.
It's on my Instagram, at Taylor Comedy, is a picture of me and a doll of myself.
Was it?
The looks on you, I was
excited.
Was
she being nice about it or no?
It had a bunch of like...
pins?
Knives in it.
Yeah.
Especially knives in a voodoo doll? Is that?
Yeah, you put knives in it. Yeah.
Pins. I think pins are traditionally more for a voodoo doll. But yeah.
How would you know about this?
Well, I read a lot. Hey, do you date on the road, Taylor? When you go, do you have a hoe in every area code?
I've tried a lot. I don't know how people do that. Like,
they do it because when they're in Cincinnati, they've got a Cincinnati girl, and when they're in Boston, they got a Boston girl. That's how they do it.
No, I know why they do that.
You don't know how they do it.
I've learned why.
Have you gone on Tinder?
Sure. Why do people want to have sex with lots of people? This does not make sense to me. I don't know what voice that was.
I don't either.
I tried the Tinder thing, but then the only girls who match with me are ones who they go, "Oh my gosh, you're Taylor."
Right.
Which I don't like that. I've heard actual famous people talk about this. Like the guy from Modern Family, Eric Stonestreet, was on a radio show talking about like, "Oh yeah, I'm just like, what's up? I'm the guy from Modern Family.
Right.
Yeah, let's have sex." He doesn't care. And I'm like, nothing compared to these people, but I don't want people to have like, because I've had people, I had someone screenshot my Tinder and post it on Instagram.
Were they mocking or what were they, why?
It was just like, OMG, just it's
but Taylor. You shouldn't be embarrassed to be on Tinder, though. You shouldn't be afraid that people know you're on Tinder, Taylor. You're a young, single guy in the world.
Well, the girl I'm dating now made me delete it.
Oh!
Makes sense.
So some people don't like
what
that
is she, uptight?
She's very selfish, you know?
She just wants to alter herself.
It's really rude.
She's lighten up.
I told her she could still have a Tinder, and she's like, no. Then I was like, what about J-Swipe? Can I keep that? That's for Jewish
sure,
dating.
Right.
So
like J-Date, right?
It's like Tinder J-Date. So it's for Jewish people to date each other so you guys don't have to.
Okay. I don't know that that's how they'd look at it, but okay.
Not sure that's their slogan.
We date Jews so you don't have to, I think is the tagline.
That's what I think it should be. I'm really handsome for a Jewish person.
Well, that's not really a category, I don't think.
Come on.
I don't think so. I mean, I think you're either handsome or you're not.
And what do you think?
Very handsome.
Really?
Very handsome. I wouldn't hike with you, but pretty handsome.
Well, you're very fit. You must go on hikes with Dave all the time.
I don't hike with Dave. That's odd.
I feel like for some reason, the way Taylor says going on hikes with Dave, it sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it? I feel like we're not talking about hiking.
Well, listen, since I had to delete my Tinder, I have to find another way to do my activities.
Uh-huh. So certainly. Dave and you do it in the woods?
Activities,
the mountains?
Yeah.
Well, we go on hikes now to the bath spot. Bathhouses.
What's happening right now?
He's just making stuff up.
Taylor's working blue. No. That's what he's doing.
Who slows who down?
Come on.
Does Dave, slow down. I can't keep up. Does he do that? He does, doesn't
he? We talk about on our hikes?
Yes. Or sex, either one.
I'm blushing now.
Yeah.
You know what? He's a great sport. Sometimes he wants to go off on – he's like, let's go this way, and then on the hikes. And then and then we end up in the wrong direction, and then we have to go further. But it's like, oh, I have to walk more. It's a good thing.
So as an athlete, he's a nice guy.
I like him a lot. You have a cool staff here.
We do have a cool staff here. I agree. I like Dave a lot too, but I just – he hikes.
Dave said he's going to come to he's going to come to my shows. He's going to come to all my shows.
Okay. Wait, he said he's going to come to all your shows?
All of them.
Okay.
Right, Dave? Right, Taylor?
Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. It's going to be this Saturday night, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock are the shows. TaylorWilliamson.com or IceHouseComedy.com. Tickets are only $20. And you have another gig at the end of the month, too. You're also going to be appearing where? The Irvine Improv? Is that right? On the 26th?
Yeah. On March 26th, I'm at the Irvine Improv doing a 13 and up show because I have
13 and up.
I'm a sensation.
Are you? You got those One Direction jokes that are just burning a hole in your pocket.
I'm telling you, all you have to do is like go on America's Got Talent and just like pretend like you love One Direction, and okay. Then like all these stupid kids, they vote for you and they become your fans.
I see.
All
right.
And they rap me all day like, "Who's your favorite member of One Direction?" And I'm like, "I don't know. They're all so great. Come to my show." And they're like, "Come on, pick one." I'm like, "Lance Bass, I guess. I don't know." And I have a career now because of it. So.
Well, it sounds like it's working out for you, Mr. Williamson. Great to see you. Hey, please, if you're not working that night, please, you know, come as our guest to April Foolishness. We'd love to see you and hang out with you.
I would love to, but I'm in Japan that week. That's for real.
He's in Japan.
Wow, you're a dick.
I really am. Can you reschedule it?
That's sweet. You should say that when anyone offers anything to you. Oh, that'd be great, but I'm in Japan.
Hey, I'm on the 405. Could you reschedule my appearance? Hey, listen, you guys, I have to get going. I'm really sorry, but thank you for having me.
Okay. We're being shined now by Taylor Williamson.
Shined? Is that what you said?
We don't have time to.
The shine, shrine, oh, shrine?
No,
shrine.
Shrine.
No, shine. It's an expression, Taylor. Just, all right. Okay. Thanks for coming in. Great to see you, my friend. We'll do it again soon, okay?
I love you.
I mean, in general, we like to... help our guests out kindly, but not always.
Ralph was just screaming, get the F out to Taylor. It was uncomfortable. Taylor Williamson, who we love, by the way, is going to be sticking around.
Apparently,
he's going to take over the Kevin Bean Twitter feed for the next hour, so I can't wait to see him mock us some more. So, Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and then we're going to tell you about an awesome new boxing documentary that's just out. I think we're talking to the guy who wrote and directed the thing. It's fascinating if you love the sport. We're going to talk boxing next. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
More homoerotic hike talk on our Twitter feed. Is that what you're saying? Great.
Probably.
Good times. Excellent. I'm always confused by the people who want to go into space, who just die, just can't live without going to space.
Me.
Yeah, well, I don't. Once again, Bean is one of the many people who confuse me about things.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I mean, I understand that it's unique and all that, but
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, that is impressive. Now back to life here on a really nice planet that I live in with people and things. And
but isn't that the same that's true about going to the pyramids or going to the jungles of the Amazon or something?
Nope,
is being there in person and seeing it with your own eyes is special
with oxygen and water, which I think are really also important to me.
Yeah,
I have those.
Well, you have that in space.
There's less chance of death, I think.
I think that's probably what it is. It's less chance of a cold, dark, lonely death at the pyramids than there would be in space.
All right, why are you bringing up going into space? Do I have a shot at it?
No.
Oh, please. Oh.
Because Sarah Brightman is going to space. Now, you may not know the name right off the top of your head, but she is a star. She is a star of the Broadway and the London stage, probably best known for her work. At the time, was her husband, composer Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera, one of the most successful musicals of all time, right?
Sure.
Here's a little taste of Sarah.
And when my song begins, I always find
the Phantom of the Opera is there inside your mind.
Ah, oh, it's a role I was born to play. What are you laughing about?
Oh, we thought you were kidding.
Touch me. Hold me. Anyway, she's going into space. She's taking a 10-day trip to the International Space Station. She's going to aboard the Russian Soyuz spacecraft. Apparently, you can just write them a check, and they'll put you in space, which is great for the Russians.
Seems you can get anything you want in Russia with a big enough check, by the way.
Seems a little shaky, though. Don't you feel like...
No, it's not shaky. The Soyuz has been up there for decades, Kevin. They're a legitimate space program.
God, Kevin.
God.
You know what a cosmonaut fan Bean is.
I am a cosmonaut fan. You know, Yuri Gagarin is one of my all-time heroes. We've talked about that.
The first Russian
first man in space. Okay. First man in space. First human.
Fine, don't care. Take it easy.
So she has asked her ex-husband, Andrew Lloyd Webber, to write her a special piece of music to sing while she's in space. She wants to perform a song live in space, backed by an orchestra down here on Earth. Well, which seems like there'd be a bit of a lag. I can't get Bean clearly from his island, but you're going to get an orchestra from Earth to play while you're singing in space, Sarah Brightman?
And why is this happening?
No one knows.
What's the point of all this?
She has got a hard-on for space.
But, I mean, it's not like she's even the first performer in space. You know, we had that astronaut last year. Remember,
yes,
had that
did.
Great viral video of Space Oddity? I mean, he was up there singing his little
juggler,
heart out.
If I remember correctly.
No jugglers.
Flamethrower,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She is paying, by the way, $51 million for this trip.
Wow.
Now, she wants a special song to sing in space. Bean mentioned she had a hit song in the late 70s that no one thought was real. What was it called again, Bean?
I lost my heart to a Starship Trooper.
I lost my heart to a Starship Trooper.
You said that, and then we laughed.
Because it's ridiculous
insane.
And it's not a thing. Turns out it is a thing. In 1978, apparently, she had a song. I don't know if it was a hit, but it was a song called I Lost My Heart.
It was a disco hit, a dance hit. It wasn't a big pop record.
Now, why not sing this song in space? It's about losing your heart to a Starship Trooper in space.
That does make more sense.
Listen to the lyrics.
Flash comes left me, it's gone to the stars. An evil God's been a hit, been banished to Mars. Tell me, Captain Strange, do you feel my devotion?
Can you feel my devotion, or are you like a droid devoid of emotion?
That's why Bean likes it.
That's a terrible song.
Bean's also devoid of emotion.
That's just
that is
horrible.
A horrible song on every level. The 70s were an awful decade.
It is ABBA light, isn't it? That song.
Wow.
But at least the lyrics are just pathetic. Darth Vader's on Mars. Shut up.
Darth Vader wasn't on Mars.
I hope you just get sucked down an airlock. I hope your head explodes because the vacuum in space makes your head just burst like a bubble.
Hey,
does
it say anywhere in your research there, Ralph, how she has $51 million?
Well,
is she still married to Andrew Lloyd?
She's not. No. They're divorced, and I believe in the divorce she got half of everything he has, and he is one of the richest men in England.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming it's out of petty cash. She's got a sugar ball. She's got a sugar ball with about $100 million in it in pound coins, and she just poured some out to the Russians.
So. I agree with you, Ralph. That song was made for her to sing in space.
That's right. She'd shake her ass out there in space and have someone cut her oxygen line and just let her float off like freaking Sandra Bullock in Gravity. That'll solve her little problem. Don't you pipe down! Hey, by the way, get a lot of love for Big Fat Liar, the movie Big Fat Liar mentioned in the last hour.
Yeah.
A lot of love for it.
Sure, it's great.
People have seen it, you mean?
Everyone has seen it. You guys are the only ones who haven't seen Big Fat Liar, especially you, Kevin. You have kids. How could they not love Big Fat Liar?
I don't know.
Frankie Muniz, Amanda Bynes, I think, is in it, too.
Okay.
I wanna say.
All right.
Paul Giamatti is the villain. He turns all blue in it. That's why it was so funny.
Okay.
Listen to this. Chuck Walker writes in, Morning Ralph, I worked on the movie Big Fat Liar in the makeup department.
What?
I was one of two people who actually applied the body makeup that made Paul Giamatti blue. We had a great time on the set and took pride in the transformation to blue Paul Giamatti. I'm so glad to hear you mention the movie. I kept in touch with Paul after the movie wrapped, and he told me he was still getting a reaction to the blue makeup we used on his skin. He said, even after 2 weeks, he went blue poo-poo and potty.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. He went blue, blue, blue and potty. He went blue, blue, blue and potty.
I feel maybe like that's the end of that bit.
He went blue, blue, blue and potty.
Chuck, it's a fad. It went lost.
Chuck Walker, you're the man, Chuck Walker. Today's celebrity birthday is Terrence Howard is 46 years old today. Johnny Knoxville is 44. Joel and Benji Madden, the Madden boys. Those Madden boys. 36 years old today. David Anders from Alias and now iZombie. He's 34. Thora Birch is 33. And Anton Yelchin, Chekhov, from the rebooted Star Trek franchise. He is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Why do Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams have to write a $7.5 million check to the estate of Marvin Gaye? How did they lose that trial? We'll talk to Pamela Schellen from LA Weekly. She was in the courtroom for the trial in about 20 minutes or so right here on KROQ. First, though, boxing fans. Big weekend coming up in theaters, on iTunes, and on demand this Friday, March 13th, is an outstanding documentary about your sport. It is called Champs. The writer, director, producer of Champs is Burt Marcus. We've got him on the phone. Here's a clip from the film.
Every time he went in the ring, he was scared. It wasn't like he just knew he was going to win. But Mike also knew when he looked in that opponent's eye, he seen fear.
Scared as I was fighting, I realized these guys were more afraid of me than I was of them. And that's when my whole game started changing as far as my my approach to fighting.
Now, we've heard Tyson a lot in recent days talking about how he got into fighting and stuff like that. But would you have ever guessed that he was scared to death going into the ring?
No, I learned a lot about Mike Tyson, about Evander Holyfield, and I have a real new appreciation for Bernard Hopkins after seeing this film. Bert, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Big fans.
How did you choose this particular era of boxing to focus on in your movie Champs, the 80s and 90s?
You know, I grew up in the 80s and, you know, and 90s, and being, you know, 30 years old, this was really, you know, these, especially Tyson and Holyfield, were guys that when I was really young were the first kind of iconic fighters that I really got into. And the more I got to know about Bernard Hopkins and the fact that a lot of people just weren't aware of his story, like you mentioned, was really just, to me, a great way in which to, you know, use them as a vehicle to explore some of the, you know, the most important issues going on in this country at this time, and I thought like it was a real fun, entertaining way to do it.
Was it difficult to get them involved in the movie? Did one of them say yes first, and then the other two went along with it, or how'd you make that happen?
Yeah, Mike, oddly enough, has been a good friend of mine for many years, and Mike came on, you know, he's an actor producer on the film, and helped us, you know, make the introduction to Evander Holyfield and to Bernard Hopkins, and really got them on board, and you know. Really, Mike was the one that got them on board with us, and, you know, it was great working with Mike, and luckily, because of Mike, they're really able to be candid and open up about their lives in ways, you know, they really haven't before.
I'm so impressed with Mike Tyson in his post-fighting years. You very, very rarely do you find somebody, particularly a celebrity, who's willing to be so brutally honest about himself, so self-reflective. I mean, he spends a lot of time working on himself, and I don't think most of us probably do that, but he's got a lot of thoughts in that head of his, doesn't he, Bert?
Yeah, you know, there's no one like Mike. I think we can all agree to that, but I think, you know, once you get to really know him, he's just one of the most, you know, he's a very complex human being, but a really, really smart guy who's super easy to work with, oddly enough. And I think the reason he does that is really he wants, you know, people, his life now is dedicated to having people learn from his mistakes and learn from the things he didn't know and hopefully change the state of boxing that's, you know, preys upon that younger, I mean, that lower, you know, economic segment of society. And so what he wants to do is, you know, help these young amateur guys and make films like this that can really, you know, allow people to have the introspection and knowledge so that they, you know, can overcome the most daunting circumstances in their life. Like he was.
I was surprised that that Mike Tyson was a student of boxing. I didn't realize that he had gone back and watched fights from the 50s and 60s and analyzed them, the whole thing. He just didn't strike me that way.
Yeah, Mike's like a boxing historian. You know, he used to take all the old tapes out. I mean, Mike, he's like a boxing encyclopedia. So if you ever want to know anything about, you know, the old school boxers or, you know, where boxing came from, how it came to be, where it is now, I mean, he's the perfect guy. And that's why he was the perfect producer on this film to team up with. And really gave us so much inside knowledge on, you know, where the state of boxing is and, you know, its effect on people. And the most important part is less about even just about the sport, but more about transcending the sport and where these guys can become champions outside of the ring.
We're talking to Bert Marcus here on the Kevin Mead Show. He's the writer, director, producer of a film called Champs, again, in theaters, iTunes, on demand, everywhere this weekend. I was also surprised to see, and I know you have a kind of a small sample of the guys that you focused on in this film, but it seemed like it was in boxing, lots of people come from fatherless households. Lots of people come from crushing poverty, more so in boxing than in the other sports we do here in America, you think, Bert?
Absolutely, and I think that's why this is such an important film for us to make and why we felt so compelled to make it. You know, the film was really inspired by our passion to showcase that kind of the irony inherent in the sport of boxing. You know, it was once for all that is the pinnacle of American athleticism and entertainment in this country, and, you know, the irony is that, you know, this is an ultimate, it's also the ultimate paradox in the fact that this is the one escape that people have from violence, is violence with violence. And, you know, what we want to do is hopefully provide the right programs and the right teams and accountants and lawyers and doctors and people that are involved to help these guys, you know, maintain successful, productive lives.
Is there a dirtier sport than boxing in the 80s and 90s as far as promoters and everything else that goes with it on that side?
I mean, not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. And unfortunately, you know, it's gotten significantly worse, which is, you know, why I think Mike was really compelled to put this film together with me and make sure that, you know, we were able to really, you know, bring it to the forefront and bring it to a more, you know, a much broader conversation, not just for boxing fans and boxing aficionados, but for people who, you know, who want to see, you know, good alternatives for young people, and especially young people who, you know, like you said, this is the one thing they have to get out of, you know, their poverty-stricken lives. And if they're going to do it, let's do it right and provide them with the right resources to be successful.
In addition to the interviews with Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Bernardo Hopkins that we talked about, you also have a lot of boxing fans in the film. Mark Wahlberg, Denzel Washington, Ron Howard, Spike Lee. I think it was Spike who said something that I thought was so interesting that I want to get your comment on, Bert, and that's that he was talking about how it seems like most of the major figures in boxing today, and of course there are some exceptions, you know, Floyd Mayweather, are Hispanic. It's not so much a sport for African-Americans anymore at the top of their game in boxing. Do you think that's true? And if so, why?
I think, you know, what Spike's point was that, you know, to be honest, it's been a good indicator about, you know, the lowest kind of the people who have had the hardest time, you know, economically, who are fighting their way out of situations in their life. And, you know, he goes back all the way to the early 1900s and explains, you know, the guys that were, you know, the old Jewish boxers and, you know, the African-American boxers, and now we have the Hispanic boxers. And, you know, Spike is a huge fan and been following the sport, similar to Mike, you know, since back in the day. So I think, you know, he tries to make that point there. And, yeah, it was great having all them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
My last question for me, because we're almost out of time here, Bert, and that is I'm going to ask you something that we asked Don King a few weeks ago, the last time we had him on, is boxing just doesn't capture the American imagination the way it did back in the time frame you focused on in this movie. How would you fix it? How would you improve it to bring boxing back to that spot if you were in charge of the thing?
I mean, I think it needs to be unionized. I think there needs to be federal regulation. Right now, you know, it's federally regulated, but on a very minimal level. I feel like, you know, everything from the way that we look out for them, the minimum salaries being, you know, roughly $30,000 for boxers these days, which is a joke. And then not, you know, having them have the proper people around them to be able to look out for their well-being. You know, 90% of boxers endure, you know, brain injuries at some point in their career, but, you know, only a single MRI is given to a boxer to gain his license, and no follow-ups are required. So, you know, from top to bottom, there's just so many issues with the sport, and the goal here is, you know, let's bring these issues to the forefront. Let's make, hopefully we can be a catalyst to creating that change and making, you know, the sport, which was once, you know, one of the most historical sports in this country, back on, you know, back to something that people can enjoy watching, because it's not going anywhere. So we at least want to allow the people who are entering the sport to, you know, be able to enter the sport and leave the sport on the best terms possible.
Well, you sure made us miss boxing, man, watching this, remembering what those fights were like back in the day. You got great footage and great analysis, and it really is a tremendous movie. I can tell you put a lot of heart and soul and hard work into it. So congratulations on Champs. I hope our listeners will go see it this weekend.
Absolutely, thanks. And we'll be at the NoHo in, you know, Lemley in NoHo on Sunday. And Evander Holyfield will be there along with a special guest. Adam Carolla will be moderating for Q&A. So there's a few seats left. So that's definitely, if anyone's interested.
That sounds great. You guys. Fantastic. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Bert.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Why aren't you on a plane right now, Kevin?
Why aren't I on a plane right now?
Going to Dublin, one of your favorite places in the world. Ireland is the dream location of the world today. This is crazy. You know how every once in a while there's a paperwork mix-up and a bunch of prisoners get released or something like that, or something turns out to be legal or illegal that's supposed to be the other way? Well, that's what happened in Ireland this week. The 1977 Misuse of Drugs Act has been found unconstitutional by the Irish Court of Appeals yesterday. So the drugs that are listed in that act are now technically legal because they've thrown it out because of something that was unconstitutional. So those drugs are legal now until they can pass another law real quick to go into effect tomorrow night at midnight to make them illegal again.
So between now and tomorrow night at midnight, ecstasy, ketamine,
yes,
and magic mushrooms are legal.
That's right. That's right. Are completely legal. So if you want to go out and do all the ecstasy that you want, ketamine, that's a
like an tranquilizer.
It's an anesthesia or something, right? Yeah. Or magic mushrooms. You can do them legally in Ireland until tomorrow night when they have new paperwork that gets filed and goes into effect.
How does this happen? How is it possible that a government can just go, oops?
I think you mean, how has it not happened here?
Well,
how
maybe.
Do we get it to happen
here? Yeah.
Ecstasy, which refers to MDMA, also diazepam, Valium. I mean, there's all sorts of good stuff on this list. Now, it doesn't go as far back to things that were legal, illegal before 1977. Things like heroin and cocaine, they are not included. But a lot of the fun stuff, a lot of the party drugs are now legal in Ireland if you want to head over there for 24 hours. We wanted to find out what kind of havoc this is wreaking on the great country of Ireland, so we asked Dave to line us up, a spokesperson for the government there. We have Sean O'Connell, who joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. O'Connell. Thanks so much for coming on, sir.
Well, it's my pleasure, Kevin DeBate. How are you doing today?
We are good.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Well, we were a little bit surprised. The news made its way all the way over here to America about what's going on in your courts. Did we explain it properly, sir?
Yeah, pretty much you have. It was that one law, the 1977 Misuse of Drugs Act, that as we changed it, we didn't realize what the effect would have. And I have to say it's been a mixed bag. It's been a blessing and a curse, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a curse for the drug enforcement officers here in Ireland, but it's been a boon for tourism. So that going for us.
So, I mean, technically, these things are not illegal. So if a police officer comes across somebody who's selling ecstasy on the street, do they just have to look the other way as long as it's before tomorrow night at midnight?
Yeah, the guardie, if they run across you either possessing or selling any of these drugs, ecstasy, ketamine, magic mushrooms, technically it would be legal to do so, and you would not be able to be prosecuted in a court of law.
Okay, why can't you just pass a law quicker? Why does it have to be tomorrow midnight?
Well, it's constitutional, you see. If we pass the law can't take effect until 24 hours after it's been signed.
I see, okay.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Even if the government, and trust me, we've been trying to rush this through as quickly as possible, even if we were to get it through, there would be a 24-hour period before it would take effect.
I got you.
So you mentioned the tourism. Are you seeing people just in droves coming into Dublin and just looking where they can buy this stuff and buy it now?
People have been stockpiling, yes. There seems to be large quantities being purchased left and right. And unfortunately, there are also many other drugs that are also illegal as well because it is that have been taken off the streets for a long time, and now they're back.
Oh, like what?
Well, you'd be surprised, but pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars, and green clovers are now also legal. And blue diamonds.
I think those are just lucky charms.
Well, maybe for you. Oh, not how we make them here. Blue diamond will get you high as a kite. And get
really?
Damn hard on.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Hey, if you want to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, it's fast approaching April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. Get all the details at KROQ.com. A lot of, two dozen entries maybe already in the first couple of days. We're going to hear some of those next hour and see what we have to pick from. But eventually you, the Kevin and Bean audience, are going to help us decide who opens the show. It's going to be awesome. I got to tell you, I was stunned when I saw the news of the Blurred Lines verdict yesterday. So rarely do these cases where you say your song sounds too much like my song go to court to begin with, and almost never does the plaintiff win these things. I can't figure out what went wrong for Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke, but somebody who might have that answer was in the courtroom, and she is journalist Pamela Chellin, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Pamela, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Doing great. Thanks so much for including us in your media tour today. You were in the courtroom for the whole trial, were you?
I was. I've been reporting on it since it was filed in 2013.
Wow. Was it incredibly boring in there like most trials are, or was this one pretty excited because of the topic being discussed?
Well, I actually find the law fascinating personally, but it was actually a lot of fun. There were a lot of quote-unquote, important people in the courtroom, and I think the vibe was actually pretty elevated for a trial.
Is there a way science can help them decide this, or what do they base it on? It just sounds too much like the other song?
They listen to the people who've testified in the case and then what's admitted as evidence, which the actual commercial sound recording of Got to Give It Up was not actually admissible in the case. And they decide if there is a preponderance of evidence that the songs are substantially similar, which they did. However, they did say that the infringement was not willful, but that it also wasn't innocent. So it's somewhere in between.
So it's interesting you bring that up about them not being able to play the recording. So the Marvin Gaye estate, they own what? The songwriting credit, but not the recording credit? Is that why?
They
don't own the recordings. They just own the songwriting? Is that what you're saying?
They own the sheet music that was deposited with the Copyright Office.
Gotcha. Okay. What about, and I'm sure this came up in the trial, what about all the times during the life of the Blurred Lines hit when Pharrell and Robin Thicke were being asked about it and they freely mentioned Marvin Gaye as an inspiration for the song? Did that hurt him?
Yes. What about those times indeed? On the stand, Robin said that he was high on Vicodin and vodka during all the interviews because he was going through personal problems. And he also said that the comparisons to Marvin Gaye were brought to him, and he's been referred to as the white Marvin Gaye before, and so he just embellished upon what was being brought to him. Pharrell said that he decided retroactively that he must have been channeling the 70s groove in Marvin Gaye, but that at the time it was not a preconceived notion.
So disregard everything we said in interviews. We didn't mean it, or we were high.
Absolutely, which is...
I like Robin Thicke's defense. I like that. Hey, I was dealing with some stuff, man. I was high.
Don't listen to me. I'm a liar.
Wow. Hey, speaking of his personal problems, how awkward was it when his ex-wife Paula shows up to testify? Because hasn't he been doing everything just short of stalking her for the past 2 years?
I have no idea what Robin Thicke's stalking capabilities are. But what I do know is that Paula actually was not at the trial.
Oh, she wasn't. I thought she was involved as one of the writers or something.
Absolutely. She was on the witness list, but ultimately she didn't end up being called into the trial, and she didn't come on any of the dates.
Okay. Look, you said that you're fascinated with the law. I look at this as a layperson. I don't know half as much as you do, I'm sure. The beats are the same. I will grant you that. But the melodies are different, and the words are different, and there's no one who's going to hear Robin Thicke's song on the radio and think that it's Marvin Gaye's song. I still don't understand what it was that the judge or jury in this case found to be anything beyond what we all experience when we hear songs on the radio that sound similar to one another.
Well, and this is probably going to be the subject of an appeal in the future, but they will have to find legal grounds for it. But to be honest, a lot of people have come to me to say that they pretty much thought they were almost the same song. So maybe different ears hear differently.
It just seems like that happens a lot. It seems like this song sounds like that song, and it happens all the time. It's weird that they were found guilty. And what was the settlement? What were they ordered to pay?
The Gays are going to get $7.4 million.
Wow. And how does that compare to how much money the songwriters made off of it?
Well, the songwriters each made over $1 million in profits, but there was also $8 million in publishing revenues, and the Gays would have been entitled to half of that had the song been licensed, so that accounts for a $4 million portion of it.
Wow.
What about future earnings? If this is a soundtrack in the future and maybe used for a sponsorship,
Well, actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because after the trial, Richard Bush, who represented two of the gays, Nona and Frankie, said he is going to be applying to get a permanent injunction against Blurred Lines, and he's going to be filing the paperwork.
They're not taking the video down, though, are they? Let's be honest. That's all that matters.
That's the important thing.
Save your copy now. Collector's item.
So when you were in the courtroom and the verdict was read, I heard that there was an audible gasp. You can actually hear people shocked by this verdict.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly my quote, so that's why you read it.
I
heard an audible gasp in the courtroom. I think that a lot of us thought, because of the preclusion of the commercial sound recording, that the gays had a much tougher time proving their case, and that's where the surprise came in.
We're talking to Pamela Chellin. She is a freelance entertainment journalist who's been writing for TheWrap.com about the Robin Thicke, Marvin Gaye trial that just wrapped up this week with a guilty verdict for the songwriters. Is there such thing as precedence in a case like this, or is everyone considered independently?
I don't think this is a precedent-setting case from what I'm being told. I think it's just your average music copyright case, but the difference is that it actually went to trial, and I think many of them settled before.
When they go to trial, do any of them lose? Is this unique in that way?
Huh, that's a good question that this journalist does not know the answer to.
Okay.
We stumped her.
Go, Kevin.
We stumped the expert here. Okay. All right, before we let you go here, Pamela, indulge us for a second, because we want to play a couple of clips that are of the songs that we're talking about here. I think it's unlikely that a lot of people don't, almost everybody knows these songs, but let's hear what they sound like. Again, a little bit. First up, I think we have a little bit of Blurred Lines. And again, the melody is different and the words are different, but you'll hear a similarity in the beat. Here's Marvin Gaye's number one song from 1977, Got to Give It Up.
I gotta tell you, that's weird.
What was it, a judge or was it a jury, Pamela?
Look at that.
It was an 8-member jury, and they had to be unanimous, and they were.
Wow.
And they were. And here's the mashup of the two songs together. And this is, I think, probably the most damning thing. But again, this wasn't played in the courtroom. But for a lot of people at the time the song came out, they put this together, and they said, wow, they do sound a lot alike. That's my reaction. Huh. $7.4 million. Pamela, you did some great work from the courtroom there. We really appreciated it, and we appreciate you coming on the Kevin Bean Show today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
It's where my demons hide. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52. That new Imagine Dragons album. Pretty good deal, you guys.
All right.
Just saying, if folks don't know, they got a new album out. It's good. That's all we like, Imagine Dragons, right?
Yes, we do.
Happy to help promote.
For your entertainment dollar, you get a big return, you think?
I think so.
I think it's a good deal.
He's not going that far. He just says it's a good deal.
It's a good deal. Okay. I got to think, if you're investing in an album, you want a return on your investment, that's what a good deal would be, right?
Okay. All right. Okay. Or you can stream it. Doesn't cost you a penny. It's just a win. Hey, 8:51, Wednesday morning. Ralph is here. 8:52 now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, Art has value, okay? And no one should get art for free. Art should cost you something, because art is special.
You're right, Taylor. I forgot about that. Sorry.
Taylor Swift. What an ass. She's insuring her legs for $40 million.
What? No. I haven't heard that, and I've subscribed to every Taylor Swift update there is.
Look it up right now. Google Taylor Swift 40 million legs.
But that sounds like something that one of the tabloids made up for...
I will pay $40 million if I get to dip her into acid and watch her legs dissolve. That'd be well worth it.
Taylor Swift reportedly insures her legs for $40 million. The source is the National Enquirer, but since it's about Taylor and seemingly so random, blah, 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 report is getting picked up everywhere, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. The National Enquirer usually has a pretty good track record.
They do because they get sued.
They've decided they don't want to give any more money away.
Plus,
she's a bitch.
Right, we forgot about that, her being a bitch and all.
Insuring her legs against possible injury and learn that they are valued at $40 million. Like what? If she loses her legs in a train accident, she wants to get paid or something?
Yes.
Is it 20 each?
She's dipped in acid by a radio personality? Exactly.
Is it $20 million each?
No, Kevin, it's 1 million on one leg. I live at 39 on the other.
It's odd.
The left leg is really so much hotter than the other one.
Why would you ask that question, Kevin?
Why are you so dopey?
I'm not the one that insured my legs.
But you made it dumber. You took a dumb thing and made it dumber.
That's my talent, Ralph.
It is. You're the dumb whisperer.
That's what I do.
By the way, internet comments are just the scourge of the earth, right? Let me read one on the TMZ article.
All right.
$40 million for those skinny, ugly things. She has no shape whatsoever, and her legs, like the rest of her, are sticks. Perhaps she should work on covering her ugly face down.
Wow. That's so just random and just wrong.
Beautiful people.
Read another one.
I do have another one. If she can't sing, have you really listened to her? She sounds horrible. If you want real music, listen to Michael Bublé.
Boom! There you go. Drop the mic.
Wait, that was a comment on the $40 million about her legs?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
And listen, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you something about Taylor Swift. And this will not come as a surprise to anyone. I am not a fan.
Right.
What?
But if you look at her in some high-heeled shoes, mm-hmm. walking around with those high-waisted shorty shorts, girl's got some stems. Got to give her mad props for her legs. Got really nice legs.
Well, one of them's worth $1 million, I heard.
That's what I heard. The other one's $39 million.
The other one's a weak link.
It's got a jewel-encrusted kneecap. Dope. Hey, Dancing with the Stars just added another contestant to the lineup. It's a surprise.
They're not going to tell us?
No, they just told us.
Oh, what?
His name is Chris Soules. You may remember him as The Bachelor. Woo! Woo! If he can sing like he can rap, I think we're all in for a treat.
Or dance, because that's
what did I say?
Sing. Sing like he can rap?
If he can sing like he can rap and then maybe dance like he can sing... Then we're in for a good time.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves were such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah.
Time and a half. Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
Look at that rhythm. He's got to be a good dancer.
I love that clip because she's so bad, and then you instantly go, she's not so bad.
Not bad at all.
As he starts.
More TV.
Ralph, with your love of The Bachelor, though, is it enough to make you start watching Dancing with the Stars?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm sure.
Prince Farming's your boy, but not when he's ballroom dancing.
I'm sure I can watch him embarrass himself in clips the next morning. I don't really need to watch that show. More TV news. Another cast member has been added to Sharknado 3, which will be on in July on Sci-Fi. Bo Derek was added to the cast as Tara Reid's mom in the movie. Now they've picked an actor to play Ian Ziering's dad in the film, David Hasselhoff.
Yay!
That's right. You heard me.
Good casting.
Bet the Hoff fights some sharks in this.
I bet he does. With his shirt off.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Lavalantula, my monster movie, will be on... before Sharknado 3, so I'm thinking we're looking sometime May or June, for Lavalantula. Me and Steve Guttenberg fighting giant lava-spewing spiders.
You think we can get Ralph Garman in to talk about that?
Nope. He's very, very busy.
That's a shame.
Yep.
What about the other movie that you shot over the holidays that you were so excited about, Ralph?
Yoga Hosers?
No, the other one. You got a lot of movies coming out.
The other one?
The one that was, I think you paid to be in it. It was that one.
Samurai Cop 2?
Samurai Cop 2.
Yes.
Where's that?
That's in the works. They're still working on it. You know, you don't rush. You don't drink wine right out of the grape bucket.
I've heard that. I've heard someone say that.
You don't want to rush these things.
Oh, you're going to. This is 2015 is the biggest year your IMDb page has ever had.
Oh, yeah. It's a banner year for me. It's going to be a career breaker.
Breaker?
Yeah.
Or maker?
No.
Or maker?
No, just breaker.
Breaker.
Just the breaker. Yeah.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What? Wait, what?
I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking of
fell off his chair.
I was thinking of trying to take off in a plane from an aircraft carrier. You need to get a certain amount of altitude to kind of leave the ship behind. But without that context, it didn't really make much sense.
Wow.
Wow, that was...
So one leg is worth a million.
Oh, don't drop it on me.
And the other leg
Kevin
is
sounds
worth,
like the smartest man in the room now.
That comment was genius compared to yours.
Wow.
Rider syndrome is a thing.
It is.
Don't blame it on me. Please. That was all Bean.
Please, it is Rider syndrome.
Give now. Write a check.
That is all Bean.
For the RSA. Oh, man. That's
you can better. Finally get the altitude from when you're off the boat.
I smell burning toast. I taste pennies.
And it was so clear in my head.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was the last thing he ever said to Jake? The day Bean just stroked out. Oh, man.
It's enough from you, Allie. Not that funny.
Was that funny? Oh. All right, before I get to celebrity birthdays, I have to apologize to a large section of our listenership.
Oh, what happened?
I forgot one of our celebrities. This email came in from Nick Haworth. Nick writes, I noticed in the last celebrity birthday segment you forgot to mention one of the most iconic figures in the history of music. That's right, I'm talking about Bobby Mother Effing McFerrin. He had such classic hits as Don't Worry, Be Happy, and... Well, he didn't really have any others, but either way, how could you forget about Bobby?
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
How could you forget about Bobby? How could you forget about Bobby? How could you forget about Bobby?
Sorry, Nick. Sorry about that. It is Bobby McFerrin's birthday.
Remember when Bean said that thing about the boat?
I sure do. I'll never forget so that.
Where were you guys when I said that?
So fun.
Terrence Howard's 46 years old today as we look at the birthdays. Johnny Knoxville's 44. Joel and Benji Madden are 36. David Anders from Alias and iZombie is 34. Thora Birch is 33 years old today. And Anton Yelchin celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What? What about opening up Kevin Bean's April Fool's 2015 at the Shrine on April 4th? What about that?
That's a thing you can do.
Yes, Tenacious D, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and our friend Brad Williams will all be there. They're already on the bill. And thank you, by the way, once again, to everybody who bought tickets to make this another sold-out event with proceeds going to some terrific local charities. Now we're trying to clear off a little spot at the beginning of the show for you, an unknown comedian who wants to get up on stage and perform ahead of that great lineup.
I have a few clips of people that have sent in two minutes or less. That's what we're looking for, videos. You just upload them at the website. The first clip is from Julio Gonzalez.
A friend called me up one time. He's like, hey, I think I'm suicidal. I said, no, bitch, you're selfish. There's a difference, right? Like, who the hell are you to think your life's the worst? If you're having a bad day, turn on Jerry Springer. Feel better about yourself.
All right, this might be this is the first clip I've heard. This might be a great opportunity to say sound quality is important. Being able to hear you well, I think, is going to make it easier for people to understand the jokes, like the jokes, vote for you to be the opening act. Right?
Agreed. Yes.
Okay, so that's tip number one. Tell me about Julio, though. Where was this recorded? It sounds like he's in front of an audience, Kevin.
I don't have that information.
Okay.
I don't have that information.
Because that's not required. I mean, you can just be in your house and do the comedy, but I'm just curious where these people were coming from. Like, is he a guy who's going to open mic nights? I don't know anything about Julio, but I guess we'll find out.
I don't either.
I think he was just trying to reach the altitude off the boat.
The boat.
All right, enough with that.
This is Sean Leary, and he's talking about funny band names.
I'm on this rock kick. I love listening to rock music because the band names are always so weird and obscure. You ever notice that? Yeah, welcome back. That was Scorpion Sauce with Plumber's Crack. Later, we have Abortion Face with Turtleneck Garbage. I feel like it's like 2 or 3 in the morning. The DJ's just messing with you. Yeah, that was Your Grandma's in a Coma by Harriet Tubman.
All right.
I laughed at him, by the way. It was good delivery.
I thought so, too.
And some great band names.
Here's a guy talking about how to get out of something that you don't want to do with your woman.
I didn't react the way a normal guy would. What would a normal guy say? He doesn't want to do something his wife or girlfriend wants to do. Nah, stupid. It's dumb. Nah, it sucks. That's a horrible, douchey way to react, fellas. I really didn't want to go to the ballet. This is how I got out of it. I was like, the ballet? Yeah, the ballet's awesome. Me and my ex, that was our thing. Then she was like, the ballet.
That's pretty strong.
That's good.
Really good. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I don't know anything about any of these people, but I mean, anyone can submit their video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com if you want to be in consideration. And I guess at the end of next week, we'll pick a top 10, put them up online, and people can vote for who opens the show.
We have one last clip, and I don't know if it's funny or not. You're going to have to tell me.
This is my song. I don't know if you guys hear this, but when I really get my music, I start staring at myself in the rearview mirror. Video.
What's happening?
I don't know. Honestly, huh. I don't know.
I think that's where the sound quality thing comes in.
It sounds like two or three different things going on at the same time.
Yeah, like he's up on stage telling a joke while the person next to him is singing karaoke.
That's what it sounds like.
This is my song. I don't know if you guys hear this, but when I really get my music, I start staring at myself in the rearview mirror.
I think that's the guy to beat.
What is happening?
As far as I'm concerned.
KRock.com.
No, that was Adele playing at the same time.
It was. It was.
On the same
stage. KevinandBean.com. Upload your 2-minute video if you'd like to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. And good luck.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What? Wait, what?
I was thinking, I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking I just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
Oh, that was sweet.
Wow.
That was enjoyable right there.
Nice. And again, what
right,
I was
one
thinking
more time,
of.
One more time. And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What? Wait, what?
I was thinking, I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking I just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
Woo. I got to tell you guys, it's a lot of fun from the other side of the room. Oh. When you're not the one doing that.
Tell me about it.
That's enjoyable.
Wow. Wow.
That's strong. A lot of people suggesting I should have just dropped the mic and just called it a day.
You could have, man.
Walked off the show. I've done
standing
my part. Again, I was thinking of a plane taking off of an aircraft carrier, okay. And you have to achieve a certain altitude to take off. That
well,
was
no,
the,
you really need speed.
What I was going for.
You need
for.
Speed to take off, and then you get altitude once you're off the flight.
Right. Pack. But the
really? I mean, honestly,
but the analogy we holds. Know. I'm talking about you, Ralph. We were talking about what a big movie year you're going to have with all the films that are coming out this year. And I was thinking that's what you've been looking for to get off of this sinking ship that is the Kevin and Bean show. That's the altitude that you need to leave us behind. That was my point.
Dude, I'm not going anywhere, man.
I just said
staying
it
right
so poorly.
Staying right here.
Should we hear it again?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think that's necessary. Come
and
on.
Now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What? Wait, what?
I was thinking, I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking I just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
And then Ralph, you said what? His about pennies and oh.
Oh yeah, I said Bean was smelling burnt toast and tasting pennies. He totally just had a stroke. Oh man,
I'm okay. I'm all right.
I'm okay. You're 62.
I don't think Bean's ever knocked me out of my chair before. Kevin's knocked me out of my chair a few times. I don't think Bean's ever knocked me out of my chair before.
I don't know where that came.
Well, he doesn't have. Here's the thing. I'm in the room and I can see Ralph lights up like a Christmas tree as soon as I start going down a bad path. Yeah. He knows it and he loves
it's
it so much.
Very entertaining. Well, now you know. Isn't it entertaining?
That is a lot of fun.
That's what I've been saying.
I should be on the other side of this more often.
Well, good luck. All right, let's get back to the show, shall we? Bean, you all right?
That wouldn't surprise me. I'm okay.
Aneurysm. Let me give some tickets away to Paley Fest 2015.
Yay!
This is a great event. Every March, the Paley Center for Media gets together, and they pay tribute to TV shows, great TV shows, past and present. It's always an amazing lineup of television. You get to meet the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite TV shows. It's happening at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. Go to PaleyCenter.org for more details and see if there's any tickets remaining. Usually most of these sell out. Great lineup this year. Homeland, Comedy Central, Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story, and more. Speaking of Modern Family, I tweeted out a link to a little video piece, a little interview with Eric Stonetree talking about how he got the role of Cam on Modern Family and how he practically didn't get it.
Oh,
like
really?
Three times. They said no to him three times.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It is. I love those showbiz stories.
He nails that.
Just you can't imagine anyone else in that role. And he would audition. They said, oh, that was really nice, but this is as far as it's going to go. You're not the one for us.
Wow.
And he'd be like, okay. And they'd go away. Why don't you come back? Dress up more gay, though. Dress more gay. And let's come in and let's do it again. And see how, okay. And he did. No, it's not going to happen.
Wow.
Just over and over again. Anyway, but the tickets I've got to give away for are an evening with Arrow and the Flash. This is a dream come true night for me. It's happening on March the 14th. Arrow and the Flash, two of my favorite shows on the CW. Of course, based on the popular DC Comics characters of Green Arrow and the Flash. If you'd like to spend an evening with the casts, first of all, that cast is dreamy.
Yeah.
You got your Stephen Amell there. You got Grant Gustin. Everybody else that aren't those guys.
Right. The rest of the cast.
If you'd like to spend an evening with the cast and creative teams behind Arrow and the Flash, give me a call. It's a trivia question this time around, though. We need a trivia question. I want to make sure that a real fan goes to see this evening. Give me the names of the two cities that Arrow and the Flash operate out of. What cities are they protecting on their TV shows? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person through with the right answer of what are the two cities that the Arrow and the Flash operate out of, you will get a pair of tickets to go see an evening with the cast and creative teams of Arrow and the Flash at PaleyFest 2015.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Nope, just call now and give us the answer and we'll take it live on the air. This is the greatest gift Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez, has ever given me.
Wow.
He sent me Kanye West's new song. Just leaked today. It's called Awesome. And it's about what he thinks of his wife, Kim Kardashian West.
I bet he likes her.
He thinks she's awesome.
Okay.
And that is the name of the song, and that is in all the lyrics of the song, and it is him saying how awesome she is. It is perhaps his greatest work ever, with such lyrics as, "You're awesome. So awesome. You look too good to be at work. You feel too good to ever hurt. I hope you're ready for tonight. I'm going to cook you a big dessert."
It's not real.
Oh, it's very real. And boy, is it auto-tuned. So much so that Omar asked me as I played it for him, is he underwater? Here's a little taste of awesome.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That's not Kanye. This is Kanye.
Because baby, you're awesome. So awesome. You look too good to be at work. You feel too good to ever hurt. I hope you're ready for tonight. I'm going to cook you big dessert.
Now, later on in the song, it's well established throughout the song that he thinks Kim Kardashian is awesome. Wait till you hear who else he thinks is awesome in the song.
Because baby, I'm awesome. Awesome.
Nope.
I'm also awesome.
Oh my God.
Also.
This is real?
Yeah.
No. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
No! He's also awesome. So she's awesome. He's awesome. Together, they're awesome.
Can't he spend one song complimenting her without turning it back on himself and telling people how good he is?
No.
It's unbelievable.
I can't believe she's not singing on it, by the way.
I can't either. She could be, for all we know. That auto-tune, that could be her.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Guys, is he the only one still using auto-tune of the popular rappers?
I would guess so. And he uses it a lot.
And wasn't it 10 years ago that it was a thing?
Yes.
Back in the T-Pain days?
Yeah, it was all T-Pain used. And then Jay-Z came out with his song, Auto-Tune is Dead, or whatever that was called. And then that's not true, because Kanye is the only one, and he's using it.
You guys are focusing on the auto-tune?
Well,
how about the lyrics?
Well, he is awesome. I mean,
oh, it's a horrible song. There's no question.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember Dana Carvey chopping broccoli?
Just like
you just sit at a piano and start playing chords and just say words. That's not a song.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
Chopping broccoli.
I'm chopping also broccoli. Awesome.
I'm awesome. That's a good song right there. I like it. It's a hit. Go get it.
Awesome.
That's the problem with unchecked ego. You think anything that you put down, anything you write, anything you record is automatically worthy.
Yeah. It's but not. He's a genius, Ralph.
It's not.
He's a genius.
He's so not.
I'm awesome.
Also, I'm awesome.
Besides you.
Also, you are awesome, but me too. Together, we're both awesome. Sometimes I'm a little more awesome than you. But you sometimes awesome. Are more awesome than me. But when we're together, we're the most awesome couple there could ever be. Gonna cook you dessert.
You just wrote a song every bit as good as the one Kanye wrote.
I certainly
did.
By the way,
cookie dessert, is that code?
Is that a thing?
I guess.
Yeah.
Is it code? I guess it means vagina and penis.
I liked his, he's got a song in the top 10 on iTunes right now called All Day, the one that he came out with last week. I like that song a lot. It sounds like he put a little effort into
I work
one.
All day.
This one.
And then I sleep all night. But I work all day also. Working all day. What do you do all day? You're mostly on television on your reality show. All day.
After you make your big country music hit that you've been threatening for all these years, you got to make yourself a rap hit.
Get myself an auto-tuner. All right.
Do we have a winner, believe it or not.
Thanks so much for answering that question. Rita in Huntington Beach. Rita, a young lady.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Rita. Are you a fan of Arrow and the Flash?
Oh, my God. I'm so much of a fan.
What are the two cities that those superheroes operate out of?
Okay, well, on Arrow, it's Starling City, and then it becomes Star City.
Wow.
And deep. On the Flash, yes. And then on the Flash, it's Central City.
You're absolutely right, Rita. You're going to spend an evening with the cast and creative teams behind those two shows.
Kevin and Bean are awesome.
Awesome. Hold on, right. Rita. We'll give you all the details, okay?
Woo! Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I am awesome. Also.
Cause baby, I'm awesome. Also.
Couldn't parody that.
I'm also awesome. Also. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Y'all don't know.
Y'all know.
Is he saying y'all know or y'all don't know?
I think y'all know. I think y'all know I'm awesome.
Also.
Does he turn off the mic and go, nailed it?
Nailed it. Today's celebrity birthday is Terrence Howard's 46 years old today. That song should be on Empire.
It should.
It should be.
It would not, because all the songs on Empire are awesome.
That's right. Because that would not be fit for my empire. My child must come up. Someone must step forward. Take over the empire. It will not be you, Cookie. You will not take my empire.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take half this empire.
No, you won't, Cookie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will take half this empire, because half this empire is mine.
No, it's not, Cookie.
Tonight, I can't wait for your
special empire.
A little one-man show. It's going to be the best.
Johnny Knoxville's 44 years old today. The Benjins. Nope. The Maddens. Benji and Joel are 46.
What's wrong with you?
Are 36 years old today.
So much for that altitude to get off the boat, man.
Tasting pennies. David Anders from Alias and iZombie, 34 years old today. Thora Birch is 33. And Anton Yelchin, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew on the program, as we do on Thursdays. We also have Jim Rome to talk sports. And we have some live music tomorrow morning from Walk the Moon. Their new song?
Because, baby, I'm awesome. Also. I'm also awesome. Also. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.